What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Game Over Greggy Show. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Do you see a future where we do this show where it's just a room all of mattresses and we get to lay down while we do it?
No, because we won't. We will fall asleep.
Dude, I want us to do a bedtime Game Over Greggy
Show. I'll definitely,
let's do a pajama jammy jam. We'll do an overnight.
A pajama jammy jam.
Yeah. Oh, and just do it an extra life. An extra life.
I love that. Much.
And then the challenge will be who's the last one to fall asleep.
Me and Kevin are immediately falling asleep in each other's arms.
Stop raising money.
No, kids will love it. They'll give us money based on how much we sleep, Kev.
How good was the documentary made?
Documentary was real good. Not enough you watched it. YouTube.com/kindoffunny. Over here, Mr. Baby Blues himself.
That's true.
At Tim Geddes.
What's the most?
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
I want to hear about your DMV story.
It's not an exciting story.
To bring you up to speed, I'm flying back from Detroit. Rock City last night.
Yeah, dude.
Get on this fucking thing. Mm-hmm. As soon as we get on, dude sits down next to me. Actually, not even as soon as we get on, actually. I lie. I get on. He's already sitting there. I'm like, oh, that's my seat. I get in. I sit down. He sits back down. As soon as I'm in, we don't have the guy in the window seat. They've already done the, hey, it's a full fucking flight.
Right.
Also, by the way, we are living a meme right here, as Bernie was like, if you have airplane trouble, don't tweet about it. Talk about it. Get your own podcast like the rest of us. He sits back down and just takes off his shoes. And he's wearing dress socks, but he takes off his shoes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't like this, but am I wrong? I started to tweet like about it. And then I was like, wait, no, am I wrong? And I made the poll about it where universally people are like, no, fuck that. Mm. Although there were a lot of interesting caveats people wanted to put on. How long is the flight? Is he wearing socks? Mm-hmm. Do his feet smell? I think that's all superfluous information. We're in fucking public. Don't take your fucking shoes off. That's weird. You're not in your living room. And I don't like to think about my backpack being down there. I don't like to think about your dirty ass feet all over the
place. Crazy.
My comfort level is if the flight is a long flight, you wait until you get up in the air, you wait until you settle up. Yeah. Basically, when the seatbelt sign, when you can get up to go to the bathroom, that's let's get comfortable time.
Yeah.
My big thing is you take your shoes off, you start getting comfortable. What happens when you have to deplane?
What about
the deplane?
Yeah, what about
you gotta
fucking
put your shoes back on? No one wants that.
Window guy still has to come through.
Window guy gonna step on your shoes, gonna roll a fucking ankle?
Here's Kevin, do you want to chime in now? You had something to say.
Right? Yeah, I was just saying, like,
Kevin Coelho, kindoffunny.com, press pool.
I take off my shoes often. Usually if the flight is longer than an hour. All right, and, like, if it's a 5-hour flight, those puppies coming off right away, right away.
Okay.
All right, I don't have smelly feet.
Okay, all right,
that's number one.
Sure.
Number two.
I like how you paused because you knew I was going to say something.
Yeah, yeah. Say something.
I'm not going to
say something.
I'll fucking hold you down right now on the floor.
He's a smell amplifier.
He is.
Is that what it is?
Not when a smelly person. Allison, smell it amplifier.
Like his feet smell like muffins.
Smell my armpits right now, guys.
Smelling bad.
I believe you.
Does it smell bad?
Probably not.
It doesn't.
I take mine off every once in a while. I would say maybe 1 out of 10 flights.
Here's where I want your opinion. Well, first off, shout out to people who responded that, yeah, I take mine off and put on slippers. They pack slippers for the flight.
See, house slippers are fantastic.
That's a baller idea. All right. Try this one on for size. Just try this on for size, right?
Why does that make you feel better?
Because then at least they've thought it through. They're not just going to be fucking savages like I'm sitting in their fucking living room.
You know how dirty that fucking plane is anyway?
I don't like think about it.
You know how many people peed on that floor? Probably.
Here's what thank you. You're following me on this
probably
one then.
Not.
So
yeah,
what this guy does is
point.
He eventually gets up before we even leave and walks back there.
Oh,
not into the bathroom, but walks back into the galley and is talking to the fucking flight attendants and comes back. I'm like, what are you doing, man? What are you fucking doing?
You
and then both him
crazy.
And the guy over here fucking watching United private screen and bullshit on their phones. Bring an iPad. Fucking think it through. This was your grand
this
plan.
This is where I disagree with you because I actually
5.5 hours on this plane. You're gonna stare at you're watching guys watching Thor Ragnarok on his iPhone. Not even X. Watching his iPhone SG, whatever the fuck.
It's one of those things where the next time I do a United flight, I might borrow one of the Ghostbuster World pop sockets that we have.
Sure.
Slap it on my phone so I can hang my phone in front of me. I actually like the United app. I actually like that you can go through and pick all your things yourself because it alleviates a little bit of the stress that I always have in the Alaska flights when that stupid touchscreen with the fucking glass in front of it doesn't really work that well and it's fuzzy as shit anyway. Mm-hmm. Like my iPhone's way better than any screen that's going to be in the back of that plane.
Next time I'm on a United flight, I might fucking get up and open the door and suck myself out. All right?
Yeah,
I'll tell you what. Again, I was
every time.
Wait, did we talk about this on the morning show? Didn't we? No, I'm not even getting in. How much I didn't like the seats. Yeah, we talked about that.
You talking about who gives a fuck? The people that watch this show do not watch the morning show.
Just saying, they were uncomfortable seats.
Totally
they were small.
Audience.
I missed Virgin America. /Alaska. I missed fucking Delta from the flight before. Joey Noah, you came in here. You got something to chime in? Are you a person of fucking sanity? Shut up. I am talking. Right now, people are driving. They can't hear me.
No, you should not take off your shoes.
Thank you, Joey. Is Joey's mic up, Kevin?
Yeah.
B.
Oh my God.
The stream in the other room cut out. Did he go to the bathroom without putting his shoes back on?
He went all the way back there, but did not go into the bathroom.
I went in the bathroom without my shoes on.
Jesus.
Because
you're going to get pee pee and poo poo. When I go to the bathroom in anyone's house, if I'm staying at their house, my shoes are off, my socks are on. Like, you guys are acting
like you don't have millions of people going back and forth.
Do you know how many people shit in a plane every day? Fact. 1 million people.
1 million people shit.
1 million people shit. Man, I don't know. Those bathrooms are disgusting.
Maybe I shouldn't be putting my sock in my mouth. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I know. You probably shouldn't lick the bottom of your feet either. This is a general rule. To me,
so hold on, time out 1 second. Question back to you then about this whole thing. Do you, when you come home, leave your shoes on or do you take them off at the door?
I leave them.
Oh, I always take my shoes off.
Taking off is usually the
protocol. Yeah. Okay.
But if you have guests, are you like, hey, can you take off your shoes?
I prefer it, but Kevin just fights back. And
that's
it
not true. I take off my shoe at your house.
Well, sometimes Kevin has those amazing like mid-90s Doc Martens on, and they're really hard to take off.
Let me put it this way. With 90% of the women that I've flown with, take their shoes off on planes. That just happens.
Gia?
Like
Gia Tab Harris?
I can't remember her doing it.
She doesn't. I've sat next to her on flights
before. I guarantee she would. There's not a doubt in my mind. But my thing is, you guys are freaking out about like wearing socks,
right now.
Wearing fucking socks in the bathroom or whatever. These nasty ass girls walking around with their flip flops on, outside in these New York streets and shit.
Yeah.
Y'all that's fucking gross. Nasty. Oh, that's Joey. Gross.
Wait, with flip flops?
I wear flip flops to the pool.
Okay,
now, that's not it.
You're like the 1% then, because
I lived in Southern California,
you're
nasty
too.
Why am I nasty?
Anyone that wears flip flops is nasty.
Why is that nasty?
Because your fucking feet are just getting in all this nasty ass dirt.
But your foot's not touching.
My shoes get dirty.
Do you know how flip flops work?
Hello.
Hey, Gia, it's Greg. You're on the Game Over Greggy Show. Greg Miller, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Hey, would you take your shoes off on a plane? Do you?
I might. Yeah.
As a general rule, though, does she?
As a general rule, Nick Scarpino asked.
I have a follow-up.
Okay, hold on. I'm just going to pass you off to Nick, who conservatively could be your friend.
Gia, can I ask you a question? This is a follow-up question to the other one, except it has nothing to do with it. Are we best friends because of this trip? Did we become really good friends on this trip?
We're definitely getting there. Yeah, for sure. I'm feeling good about it.
That's positive. But
Get the shoe answer.
It's not as positive as I was hoping it would be.
Ask her if I take off my shoes when I go to her house.
Does Kevin... this is a bit more important question. When Kevin Coelho comes over to your house, does he take his shoes off at the front door?
What?
Like when he comes in, does he immediately
take
his shoes off?
No, you take your shoes off at the stairs.
Or does he put his feet on your couch like he does here?
I've never noticed him barefooted in our home. I feel like mostly shoes stay on.
Not looking good, Kevin. Not looking good.
That's such bullshit. So let me ask you this question.
I'm going to paint a picture for you, Gia. You're on a plane ride. It's a 5-hour plane ride over to New York. At what point do you think to yourself, I might take my shoes off for comfort? Like, here are your answers. Never, 1 hour in, always.
Well, so here's the thing. I'm, as you know, sort of on the petite side, so I can...
You're not big.
I'm not big.
So me and Greg put you in our pockets, carry you around.
Exactly. And so I can really cuddle up on an airplane seat, like middle seat, you know, aisle seat, whatever. I can sit cross-legged.
God, I wish.
So there have been long flights where I've gone shoeless.
But as a general rule, you don't look forward to that time where you're like, I'm going to take my shoe off. Like, you're not counting down the time of doors closed, shoes off, right?
No, absolutely not.
Thank you, G. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
One day we're going to work toward our friendship. We're going to be best friends with it, conservatively. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
I hope so.
Greg, do you have any other follow-up questions?
No, that's it. Thank you,
Gia. The defense rests. The defense rests.
I don't really know what we proved with that phone call.
Halfway through, I just reminded myself how much I like talking to Gia.
I just feel like I couldn't fathom taking my shoes off on a plane. It's not somebody's living room. And that's the thing, I guess.
I do. International flights, I absolutely take my shoes off. At a certain point, you just go, because your feet just start hurting because of the pressure of being up there
that
for so long.
No, that just has never happened to me. Maybe it's because Converse are the perfect shoe.
Have you ever laid your head against the side of the plane, Greg?
Yes, I have.
I rest my case.
Have you ever touched the seat of the plane with your head? because no one's cleaning those fucking things off. Nothing's clean on that
Nothing
plane.
Nothing is fucking clean.
But
we've seen these people clean. They don't. They just kind of walk in with their shiny little vests.
They do the thing that I imagine you do when you clean, where you just kind of move shit around. And then
I'm like,
when I used to live with Tyler.
They make sure there's puke bags in every fucking thing.
You know what I find disgusting? When you look in the seat.
Oh, I hate that.
And there's someone else's trash in there.
Oh, yeah. No,
and I'm like, you couldn't even fucking give me the illusion of cleanliness in this goddamn plane. It's disgusting. And then I go, like, every once in a while, I'll order something to eat. And I'll start eating it and realize I haven't washed my hands yet. Shout out to Alaska because they have the best smelling soap out of any airline on there. It's like a pepperminty soap.
It's straight from Alaska.
Fantastic. Oh my God, it's great.
Damn.
It's great.
That's how you know.
Shout out to Alaska's new little scarves.
Oh, they're cute.
You notice this?
Yeah.
I like them. They're like a nice blue-green gradient. There's a lot of big Kind of Funny Games Daily vibe going on.
Mm-hmm. I hear the person that designed them, a huge Games Daily fan. Pierre Jean Games.
Yes.
Is his name.
Pierre Jean Games. Wow.
Jean Games.
Is he like it because Games is in his last name?
Well,
he
just likes Games. He changed his name to Games.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know?
That's a whole process.
It's what's Pierre saying?
David Copperpot.
Because he liked pot so much.
Yeah.
He did the magician. Like
so Copperfield.
Yeah.
David Copperfield.
And copper. So he's just like, fuck it, let's get out there.
Sure.
You going to ask me a question about PSX?
No.
What were you going to say? I think it's PSX.
Pierre.
Oh, Pierre.
It sounded like we were on the verge of another split personality for you for what you've been working on here.
No, I would have to work with your wife to nail a French accent. So I got to spend more time with Jen.
I don't know if I'll allow that. All right.
You know, I was telling
you're already
you
best
off
friends
camera,
with Gia. Why do you want to go be friends with
I want to be friends with everyone. I'm a friendly guy. I was puppy sitting Portillo in the Austin airport when Jen went to get a big bottle of Fiji.
So for 5 minutes, you sat next to Portillo to make sure he didn't jump out of his bag.
I don't understand what your big criticism with this dog is. He was perfectly lovely.
What do you mean? My criticism?
He didn't do
I love
anything
him.
Wrong. He just sat there and looked at me, and I pet him the entire time.
Yeah, that's all you need to do for him.
But I also want somehow, and follow me on this,
I want it.
We make a life-size crate. That's what Kevin goes in every once in a while. And he mashes his head against the thing we go outside just like Portillo does.
Dude, Portillo looks
Kevin, you down
so
for that?
Comfortable, but in the least comfortable positions.
Oh, where he hangs his head out of that bag like he's choking himself. Yeah.
I'm like, why are you doing that?
There are plenty of times in bed, he'll have his head like shoved into a pillow or underneath the covers in a way that you can hear him struggling to breathe. Yeah. And I have to be like, no, we're going to move this. Like, you're like you're like, all right, no, like you're cutting off all the blood flow to your brain right now.
We had a great moment in the Austin airport. We got through. First off, I had the most Nick moment that you've ever seen where we're all tired at this point.
Sure.
Like we did the panel in the morning. It was fantastic. But the panel, I was like, that's all I got energy for. Shout out to Uncle Julio's. We went to that, brought me back
shout
a little bit.
Uncle Julio's.
We get through the security and they pull my bag. And I'm like, oh, Christ. Right? And I see it happen. I'm like, just relax. Like, and this very nice looking young lady pulls it. I'm like, don't give her shit. Just get through this. Whatever's in your bag that they saw, because I thought it was my toiletries, right? Little did I forget, championship. She's like, do you have some sort of like plate or metal thing in your bag? And I was like, well, let me tell you, I'm the Kind of Funny world champion. I didn't have it. I lost it on Thursday. I brought it back. And she's like, I went in and she's like, I got to put this through the metal detector. And I was like, I need you to put it through.
Yeah, can I take
it? And I'm like, can I take a picture of it? This is hilarious. I'm like, I'm making a big thing
through
out of this.
Through the x-ray?
Oh, yeah, it came through the x-ray and I got it right
as
it's coming
really?
Out.
I didn't see this.
Oh, yeah, it was on my Instagram. So I had fun with that. No, I didn't get the actual shot of the x-ray. I couldn't see it.
Oh, yeah,
no,
you got it coming
just
out.
As it's
yeah,
coming
I saw
out.
That. I saw that. I thought you went around the corner and got it like on the x-ray.
I need you to take a picture of this on my phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Bring it in.
TSA's like, yeah, fine. Also, that gun looks good.
What's funny about it is then it comes through and Nick gets it. And all the TSA agents that, you know, the like extra useless ones that just kind of stand around there.
The minglers, the grazers.
Yeah, yeah. The ones where it's like when they call hands, they're supposed to go, but
they never do. They're having a conversation at the end of the bell.
They're having a conversation. They're just like, what's that? Is he a wrestler?
Yeah.
And I was just
I told them all.
Jesus Christ. Like, I did that
Nick
thing.
Nick
is a fucking, not only a wrestler, a champion.
A champion.
It's true. Both these are true.
I had that moment where there was a guy. There's always the guy.
The guy.
Always the fucking
Mike.
TSA agent who has to sit there and annoy everyone by repeating, no waters, no snacks, no nothing. And he gets to me. Now, I put my bag up there first, big bag up there first, push it through, right? Get out three, not one, not two, three bins, okay? Put my backpack down. He sees the three bins, right? I start putting all my stuff in one, yada, yada, yada. He waits until I reach in my bag and he goes, no, you know you got to take all your electronics out of that. And I'm like, what do you think the other two fucking bins are for? Do you understand me?
Now,
and then I'm like, he doesn't know who I am. Maybe he, like, I look like a normal human being, like a civilian.
He doesn't
but
understand
I am,
you're
I'm
a champ.
I look like a civilian, but
no,
little do they know.
That's the problem.
Just
wish,
leave me alone, you
fucker. I wish I should preface this. I wish when I was a normie like yourself before I had TSA pre-check and didn't have to worry about any of this shit.
Well, I'm getting it.
But when I was steerage, when I was one of the many rats like yourself scuttling around trying to avoid the trap, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
I would also get mad at the, no, liquids, 3S, not about, da, da, da. And they're all mad and grumpy. You're like, man, just shut up. We get it. But the amount of times I'd be in front of or behind someone and be like, what do you mean I can't have this giant bottle of water? Like, when the last time you fucking flew? Well, I have to take my shoes off? Like,
yeah, people get pissed.
Yeah, you also can't bring your box cutter on. What are you fucking talking about?
I'll say this, though.
Do you not remember 9/11?
As a person.
We said we'd never forget.
We let them win.
And every day we forget more.
Yeah, the terrorist won. I'll say this though, going
to Austin.
Nah, I love Tim Geddes.
He's something.
And I would say 99% of the time, he's the most.
You, but this is like me comforting touching you. Yeah. No?
He's the most easygoing person I've ever met in my entire life. But he is
wearing him down on that. For
maybe
sure.
In the last 6 months, one or two choice moments of rage. And man, let me tell you, fucking going to through SFO, he was not having
what
it.
What happened?
To the point where he was like, "I'm TSA, Gia's not," and he just looked at me. And he goes, "Nick, she's yours now." And like he boned, like I was like, he's like, I'm never going through the normal line ever again.
Yeah.
Never. No. I can't even remember why you got mad.
It was a bunch of things.
It's just you got hands or something like that.
Well, the first going there, I like was like, you know, Gia, I guess I'll stay with you because she didn't get the TSA.
And there wasn't much of a line, really.
There was enough. Like having to go through, and I was like, I know they're going to fucking get me on this shit. And they got me on the shit. Both my bags had to be searched. They had to check my phone. They had to like do all the stuff. I'm like, this is just, I hate you. If I was just over in that line, they'd be like feeding me freaking LaCroix. They would just be like, come through, we love you.
When I come through TSA pre now, they do give me a chocolate and say, thank you for being.
But it was on the way back that I was like,
yeah, you're like, I'm not doing this.
She's yours.
Me and Gia just
had it. Were you too exhausted?
I'm not fucking, like, I don't have the energy to fucking be upset at these people.
Hilarious that, and this shows the fucking sham that is the airport security, is that if you went through the other line, they would have done none of that to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that all that proves is it's all just a fucking money. It's just a money grab.
What are you talking about? I got my fingerprints. I'm safe now.
Yeah.
I'm safe.
Why don't they have they can't tell that Tim's not that fucking guy? I don't understand.
You want to know how bad security is, right? Yeah. You want to know how bad TSA pre-check is?
You snuck through a fucking knife again?
I snuck through something even more deadly than a knife.
Weed?
A little bottle of Tabasco sauce. Oh, that at any point, God, I haven't given it to Joey. At any point, I could have walked up to the pilots and been like, hey, big fan. And then I'm like, you know what? We're doing a barrel roll.
I thought for a second, I thought you were going to go, you blind him, smash, little mini knife.
Oh, yeah. Very little.
Stab the other eye because
I got to get it right in the vein.
Right in the fucking vein.
Yeah.
Sharp and spicy.
There's some comedian who had a bit after 9/11, but before we got to the stupid 3 ounce of liquid thing, where he was flying next to a guy who was like, no one's taking this plane. He had a giant bottle of Tabasco sauce. Like, that was his solution.
That was
if
the
someone
tried to. I mean, that shit does hurt when it gets in your eye.
Sure, but it's a big shot. It's a big shot.
Shooting someone,
I feel like it's this, and I knock the sauce out of the air.
Yeah.
So on the way there, when we were at SFO going in, and I had to stay in the normie line. There's the like the little X-ray fucking
backscatter machine they call it.
Yeah, the backscatter.
The thing that most assuredly is giving all of us pancreatic cancer.
And then there's the other one next to it that's just like the normal metal detector thing, which I always prefer going
from Logan.
Yes, exactly.
I don't think it was in that one, but and the one before then. Wolverine.
So I'm like, whatever. I'll be with Nick and Gia, I guess, and I have to wait.
Fucking terrible.
And I ask people, like, do I have to take my shoes off? I'm TSA, and usually they're like, no, it's fine. This one goes, no, it's only for the TSA lane. And I look directly next to me where it says TSA lane, and I'm like, he goes, no, you got to go through this one. I'm like, all right.
It's the all rules make no sense. Stupid.
You
got to
just give up on your normie friends. You know what I mean?
Trust me. I told him. I mean, I had my breakdown. I was like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Trust me. I understand that it's hard. I've never felt more in line with the queen of the hive. You know what I mean? When you see these queen ants just sitting there fucking being fanned and shit. And I'm sure they look out every day and they're like, oof. I would love to come help you mindless drone ants that are being squashed and tortured around the world. But I'm the queen and I got to do what I got to do. Yes, queen is where it's from.
Here's what I'm saying. You know how I'm a late adopter of things?
Yeah.
You know how for the longest time I was like, no movie pass, no movie pass. And you're like, Nick, why don't you get movie pass? All of your excuses for not getting movie pass make no logical sense.
None.
And I 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
TSA is not that for me. The pre-check thing, I want to get global entry. I just keep forgetting about doing it because I block out the pain of the airport right after I leave it. I'm like, oh, thank God that's over. I never want to think about that again.
The good news about it, Nick, is that it's a lot easier than it than you think. There's less steps involved.
I know I got to go for the interview.
But all you got to do, though, the step one is just go to the website and just hit get appointment. You're not going to be able to get one for like 3 months.
Okay.
So then it's just, you don't need to think about it. And then one day it'll just happen.
Okay. I love it. And then how much is it per year? For? Do you guys have Global or do you have TSA?
I have Global.
I have Global and it comes with my credit
Global's
card.
Global's better, right?
It's multiple years. Yeah. Yeah. It gives you appreciation.
TSA is 85 for 5 years.
But Global's what, like 100 for and three or five?
I'm in, man. I'm fucking in.
Hell yeah, man.
And I'll tell you why, it's because you know what it is. They have that Global line when you come back from international trips when you're groggy as fuck.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that correct?
That's true.
Yeah, and that's the one I really want. I don't care so much about these. It's after a 9-hour flight, and I'm just like, I don't want to fucking... Because I'll tell you this, people, if you're watching in other countries, your customs agents are perfectly lovely compared to the United States customs agents. All the U.S. customs agents I have... I can't make them laugh for the fucking life of me. They are not breaking a smile.
Do we have a best friend who works in Montreal? Get him next time.
As a Canadian? He's a Canadian that works in Montreal?
Well, or you do U.S. customs before you come back.
Yeah.
So you do them there at the border.
Because I'm not saying that the customs agents here are bad. They're just not human. They're just Terminators. And I don't want to deal with that. Because you know I'm a very paranoid person. I can't break the law. And in my brain, it's one of those things where they start asking me questions. I start panicking.
Yeah.
I have nothing to hide, but I start panicking. Do I have any fruit on me? Did I interact with some sort of livestock? I don't know. I can't remember. I pet a camel once. I'm on, like, I forgot to tell. I don't know. You know, I start panicking. They see the sweat. They shoot me in the head.
Damn, bah. Dude. Those Montreal people are crazy. Bah,
bah. That's not how you shoot. That's, you want your eyes on the thing you're shooting.
No, blood. Gets in your eyes. You can't keep shooting.
Yeah, okay. But again, right now, if you're a listener at home, Nick's shooting with his right hand.
Sideways.
Covering his face with his left, but keeping his fingers spread so he can see through the slots. It's still going to get you.
Try it.
The
try
blood. It. I'm going to spit. Oh, are your eyes getting wet right now?
Like, no, just my forearm because I haven't. This is the fucking defense.
I don't think you can move fast. You just wiped my spit out of your eye.
I did.
Yeah. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Game Over Greggy Show each and every week.
I love
four,
these.
Sometimes three, best friends gather on this table, each bringing a random topic of discussion for your amusement. If you like that, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny where you can get each and every episode early. See, we post it weekly. Every Friday is one big podcast and on youtube.com/kindoffunny. But if you wanted it a full week early, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Get it as a live broadcast with the pre and post show. Get it as an MP3. Get it as a video that includes the pre and post show. That's no longer live because that's not how video on demand works. But if you have no bucks, starts away. youtube.com/kindoffunny podcast service around the globe. Thank you for your support. Like, subscribe, share, all that jazz. If you enjoy what we've been doing, go to Patreon. Fucking punch that bell. You see the P.O. box, send us fan mails there. If you see Kevin on the street, whip donuts at him.
I saw a funny YouTube video yesterday by one of our boys from Moving Mind Studios.
Oh!
Ryan George.
God, I haven't heard of
him.
What's
he working? He's working at Screen Rant.
Yeah.
Good for him. Kick-ass job.
Do they still do Moving Mind stuff, or is that over with?
Not really, but yeah. But anyways, he's kicking ass over there, and he made a video that is, it was a Twitter video, actually.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, season 4.
Like, went viral. He had, like, 3,000 retweets or some shit. But it was, what if movies ended like YouTube videos?
Mmm.
It was pretty fun.
I saw that get shared yesterday. Yeah. Where it was the end of Star Wars Force Awakens. Is that it?
Star Trek. It was the end of Star Trek. And it was like, hey, what's up, guys? I'm J.J. Abrams. Hope you liked the video. If you did, check out more of my movies and blah, 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 blah. For some behind the scenes.
That's cute. It was cute, right?
Now we're talking about viral shit. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Has anybody talked about Andy?
I have. He is. I hit him up.
You saw this, right?
No, what'd he do?
Bring up Andy's Twitter. Kind of funny, Kevin. Thank you very much.
I texted Andy the next day and I was like, this is the lamest text I'm ever going to send you, but it's also the most honest. I'm fucking proud of you. Congrats.
So do you have no idea what we're about to talk about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Andy put up the best tweet ever. If you remember at RTX, we went out. Don't scroll yet, Kev. Sorry. If you remember, we went out to a bar.
Okay.
The final
floppy disk
night. Yeah, right. Yeah. Where are we going to go and hang out and actually, or no, I guess not the final night, but one of our nights. We had a lovely team dinner.
Yeah.
Then we were going to go to the bar and chill out and talk to each other. And we walked into what we were told was a speakeasy, and it is a speakeasy. However, it was a speakeasy that was fucking cranking goddamn music.
It's terrible.
Which is awful, and I think against what a speakeasy is. That's why I like the massage parlor place we go to before.
Oh, yeah. Sexy.
Andy got inspired and tweeted the following. Now, Kevin, find it for me. Find it, Kevin. Enhance. Find it, Kevin. Enhance.
God, he tweets too much.
Keep going.
There it is.
Oh my fucking Christ.
So the tweet reads, audio listeners, I have a billion idea. Check it out.
Holy fuck.
A bar that plays music at about half the volume of other bars. Currently, more than 15,000 retweets.
What?
More than 130,000 likes.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
I love it.
And the best thing is his follow-up response. Whoa, this blew up, huh? Check out my SoundCloud, impeachdonaldtrumpnow.org.
Wow.
The layers of comedy are so good.
This is so good.
Now, if you go back, Kevin, go back to his main page, it might be, I don't, did he ever natively tweet about it or did he just tweet at me about it? There it is. Scroll down to the one that's not him, the me. Click on this. The Chicago Tribune nominated him for funniest tweet of the week. Click on this and vote. You know, I don't know if it's closed yet. He was fucking destroying, of course, because the Kind of Funny best friends are super supportive. You can show it to everybody, Kev. You can show it. You don't have to do anything. There you go. Vote. And he's killing it. 53% of the vote right now.
I love it. Tweet of the week.
That is great.
But yeah, I was like, that's a really funny tweet. And then I like fucked off. I retweeted it and fucked off. And then I came back and saw it again. I was like, what the fuck?
What the living
fuck? And like it got on Reddit super high and all this stuff.
So I'll tell you right now.
Yeah.
This tweet is such a success that I've seen him on multiple meme accounts that I follow.
Yeah. Really?
Where they're like cutting out to their credit. They're giving him credit.
I enjoyed somebody broke it out on a Kind of Funny subreddit, and it's what is it, white people thoughts or whatever?
White people Twitter.
White people Twitter, and somebody's like, wait, why is it on this?
That's hilarious. But to be fair, that just proves that
there's a market.
There's a market for this. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. I've never fucking had one single solitary person explain to me the fucking psychology behind not be like pumping music so loudly in a bar, a club. I get if you're gonna dance, you want that. I don't want.
If there's a dance
anything.
Floor, it makes get sense. It. If there is not, there should then either not be music or it should be at 20%
very low
volume
so that it feels like there's more people. The whole concept behind the music at the bar is that it feels like there's more mm-hmm. people than there are at the bar. That's great.
You get a little
this place
noise.
For context was approximately the size of this studio.
Yeah,
like i.e. fucking tiny.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And they had a DJ that was blaring like Journey. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the I get that it's a hipster bar. It's a place called the fucking Floppy Disk Repair Co. And it has swings in it. So I understand they're going for a specific vibe. And the guy that came up to help me when I was like, hey, how do you feel about this drink? He's like, I don't know. How do we feel about it? I'm like, I feel like you should bring it to me. I'm going to fucking break the glass and stab your goddamn eyes out. You fucking hipster piece of shit. Yeah, like, I don't appreciate this attitude. You're
I was totally
me.
Caught.
Turn the fucking music down.
I was caught off guard and I kind of fucked up because I didn't deliver this message. But at the end, when we were getting ready to leave, like, the owner came by and was like, oh, hey, like, what are you guys in from? Like, oh, somebody's like, oh, thanks for coming. I'm like, the owner. And he's like, how did you hear about us? And I was like, yeah. And it was just like, wait, or maybe it wasn't the owner, but like the manager. Yeah. And it happened so fast that I should have been like, oh, wait, we're leaving because this sucks. Like, you understand it? Like, this sucks right now. Like,
and not only that, but I'm like, no one around here, like, I looked around at people and like, no one was talking because it was so fucking obnoxiously loud.
Looked phased by it, I will say.
No one looked happy either.
We were the only.
Well, it was all the red lights, man. It was red lights.
We did not look happy.
We weren't happy.
Everyone else.
And then the insult's injury. And by the way, I'm tired right now, so I'm obviously going to be I'm a little closer to the surface. My nerves are a little closer to the surface, but exposed. What is the?
I'm just scared. That's fine. Yeah.
I'm just going to complain right now.
Yeah, it's fine.
Where we go?
Lay
hey,
out, man, you're in a safe
we're
spot.
We're all trying to just relax. We're like, we should go back. Let's go back to the hotel bar because hotel bars.
Oh my god.
Maybe
right.
a little bit of piped in music. This is a business hotel we're staying at, right? Get back there. Live cover band in the hotel bar. Loud as fuck.
Loud
and
as
I'm like,
shit.
Who does this?
Now, here's
Austin.
The fucking worst part about the live cover band. The dinner we went to earlier that night also had a live cover band, and they were fucking awesome.
Were dope.
But there was one problem with both of them. They both performed sitting on the dock of the bay, and both fucking bands were cowards, afraid to do the fucking whistling part.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
What's the point of doing the fucking song if you don't even do that shit?
Oh, that was Smash Mouth.
That was Smash Mouth.
Sorry. I'll tell you a shout out. What is that? Tulecos? Tulucos?
Yeah.
What was that fish restaurant called?
Trulux.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Gia's friend worked there for years. So we always used to go whenever we'd go to Austin.
Cocktails, great. I don't normally
go get the Hanky Panky.
Oh, the Hanky Panky's fucking great. I don't normally like the whole lounge bar act, but they were crushing it. They played subdued covers of I swear to God, did they cover Thriller? At some point they covered
did.
Yeah, it was Thriller,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
However,
but it was like Muzak version of it.
Amazing food, amazing cocktails, amazing service.
Great service.
I had to leave the restaurant for 15 minutes because I was too cold.
Oh, I love it. In Austin, Texas.
Yes, I know.
That's why it was great.
I love it, dude.
I'm used Pipe to that I know shit the in. Midwest, don't get
drown
me wrong.
Me now, I'll air. Say this too. Okay, now this is, you know me. I get anxiety when change happens.
Sure.
Now, we had Lou and Fareed coming. Big old Lou, Funky Cole Medina, and our friend Fareed, who works at Rooster Teeth as well, we work with.
Well, Lou works at Sugar Pine 7, but yeah.
Lou is basically a shill for Sugar Pine 7. Yeah. He couldn't acknowledge that we exist. His fucking life depended on it. Doesn't matter. Long story short is they hit Tim up. They're like, hey, what are you doing for dinner? Tim's like, oh, we're at this place. Nice fish restaurant. You guys can come by if you want. He tells me, I start getting anxiety. I'm like, oh, Christ. Here we go. I don't know what's going to happen. We're going to ask for two more people. Does this table have spots for two? I'm like, just relax, drink your cocktail. It'll figure itself out. You ask him, you're like, hey, is it possible to add two more people? Guy's like, and I've never seen a server do this before. That's giving a beat. No problem. We got this table transforms into a bigger table. And I'm like, holy shit. And the guy, he like snapped a finger in my mind. He courteously called over someone to help him out. The guy's like, cool, I just need you two to move. And two people got up, and then all of a sudden it turned from an oval table to a round table. Yeah. I'm like, this is amazing.
Now,
and nothing, you know, it was a great
this
night.
This is where I'm saying it. They went to that
abysmal bar afterwards.
This is what we talk about with Eric Castro, right? Hospitality, mm-hmm. service. Mm-hmm. They are charging us a fair price for all the food and drinks and stuff, right? Yeah. But the service, top notch.
Impeccable.
To the point that, remember,
they decrumbed the table.
We saw three booths over here. And we saw them all somehow get more romantic. At first, we're sitting there chilling out. People come by for this one. They start putting rose petals around the table. And mm-hmm. it was like, oh, that's very cute. Mm-hmm. Then the next one, more rose petals. The one over here. So there's a middle one still open. One over there. More rose petals there and like a candle. Oh, that's even nice. The final one, rose petals. A dozen long stem roses, balloons that say, I love you, happy anniversary, also happy wedding. And I was like, wait, that doesn't make sense. It can't be both.
And then Shaggy came out and performed It Wasn't Me. It was crazy. Shorty, you're
my angel.
Oh, that's true.
I feel bad that I just ripped that bar apart. That's not a bad bar.
No, fuck that bar.
It's just not what we want.
Hey, you know what? Everybody, they know. Now they know when they go to Austin. You want to go to the Urban Cowboy Massage Parlor? That's the speakeasy to go to.
Midnight Cowboy.
Midnight Cowboy Massage Parlor.
Actually, just really anything that starts or ends with Massage Parlor, you want to go to, probably.
Yeah, probably.
I think
that's probably
what you want to go to. Yeah, I don't know. I've always been that, though. I think I hit a certain age where I'm like, I just don't have... Here's the thing. I like engaging with people. And the way I do that is by talking to them, having them hear me, and then responding. And I just don't understand any environment that doesn't allow me to do that.
That's why I like Starbucks so much.
It's great. Coffee houses.
You know what you're going
to
get.
When's the last time
you went to a coffee house and you walked in and they were just... piping in fucking club music. What? I said a venti iced coffee. What? No. That's because those are environments where you're supposed to talk. Why can't a bar be any different? I would love
to
sit down, have
a
cocktail, and talk to a bar.
Light Florence in the machine.
Yeah, a little bit. Something. Oh, yeah.
Stand by
maybe some Jason Mraz going on.
But I also just don't respect DJs. I should say that.
Okay.
I should say that.
We have friends who are DJs.
I do, and I love them, and I support them, but I don't respect the institution of the DJ. Just don't do it.
What does that even mean?
Because they have to do, like, I get the hustle, right? But when you're in a place that small, and you're like, it's my job to just fucking crank up the energy level. It's like, read the room, man. Nobody wants this.
Okay. I see, right there, you're making sense. But isn't that more on the management for choosing a DJ for a small room?
But the DJ, as a lot of people should think, is like the thought leader of the group, right? He should be the leader and be like, let's take it down a notch. When the guys turn up, like, no, this is not the right environment for that. Like, I should, as a DJ, you walk into a speakeasy like that and you go, we're going to just lay down a nice bed
of beats.
Every once in a while, maybe throw in the Jurassic Park theme. Have fun. Everyone likes that theme.
Everyone likes it. But again, just to make one more comment.
Like, yeah, man.
To make one more comment, right? Didn't we also say we seem to be the only table not really enjoying ourselves?
Yeah, but
young hip kids in this place were like, yeah, man.
No, Greg, as you know, I am the center point of everyone's life.
It's true.
In my brain. Mm-hmm. So if I'm not enjoying myself, they're wrong. They don't know the way I have to leave.
I'm having dinner with Grimecraft tonight, and I don't know how to break it to him, but you don't respect his craft.
Love Grimecraft. Sat across from him at this Vino Pino place that we were at. Vino Volo place.
Terminal 2 is wine bar, right?
Yeah.
Now, the one that, no shit, Andrea walks up and they pour her the usual.
I was about to say that the Vino Volo, it's in like airports around the fucking world or whatever. Yeah, yeah. It's the wine place. And Andrea is such a regular that she, like, everywhere she goes, she gets a tasting. You're one of our like supreme leaders or whatever the fuck. I don't think
that is what it's called.
I think it is actually
Vino Volva. Yeah.
We're the Vino Volva supreme leader.
Yeah, yeah, supreme leaders of Vino Volva. I don't have any beef with DJs. I love Grimecraft. I love Grimecraft when he does the rave stuff and passes it. But that's the right environment for
sure, dude.
That's the right environment for the
totally
DJ.
Totally different thing. What you're saying, you don't respect DJs in situations they shouldn't be in.
They shouldn't be there.
Or that where they're like not reading the room. Like that's all that it is. Yes.
Fucking hate when they decide to take up the Nordstrom's a notch and put a DJ in there. Hey, you shopping? It's our anniversary sale. Here's a DJ.
I've like, never seen that.
You know why I don't want a DJ? Because I have to fucking scream, do you have this in a size 10 and a half?
Yeah.
And the guy who's clearly pissed off that there's a fucking DJ is like, I'll go look. It's annoying.
All I want
DJs
a Nordstrom
out of those environments.
A live pianist. You know what I mean?
They don't do it anymore.
Yeah, they do. It's Showtime.
Oh, I gotta go.
Oh yeah,
I saw that guy.
Get on that thing.
Ba-doom, boom, boom, ba-doom, boom, boom. Hey, baby, here there is a guy.
Oh God, it's fucking Kramer. No,
I will give in terms Michael of the department stores.
Michael Richards is touring.
I feel like the music in Express does add to the ambiance and to the experience because it's not too loud. It is bullshit, but
it's
like,
such a hard line to walk with live music and music in general. You want to, Jen and I went to a jazz club downtown, mm-hmm. came in. This is awesome. We went down to where the music was being played. And even there, it was like, ooh, let's bring it down a level, man. We're here to talk, man. We're here to flirt.
Mm-hmm.
That's get our fuck on.
Yeah, dude. This is where we're supposed to, you know, prime everything.
Yeah, dude, who knows what's going to happen.
I'm sure part of this is my elevated age, where I just don't have patience pushing for things. No, I'm just saying, like, I'm saying the old adage of, like, oh, get off my porch. I'm sure part of it is just because I've lived that life and I just don't have patience.
Yeah, you
for
remember
it.
The comic club? You love the music.
I love comic club. Is a club,
remember,
though.
Yeah,
exactly.
Clubs in bars, you got to get in talking like this, and that's
but
what people want.
I hate it because
you get in here, you go, nah, nah, and you go, and then Tyrute's like, why are you smelling me, Nick?
I'd be like, I just need to know what a man smells like. Tyrute came, by the way. It was good to see
him.
You guys saw him.
Yeah, I hung out with him probably more than
more and more jacked. I'm hanging out with him next weekend.
He was there. He was in the
he was, and he was not liking it either. I was like, Ty, you want to? He's like, yeah, let's get
we tried
the fuck
to do like a
here.
Business meeting. No, it didn't
happen. That was a terrible idea. Now, to be fair, again, we're close to 6th Street in Austin. It's our problem for choosing that bar. But I just feel like I walked in, I was like, this bar is fucking
well,
cool.
Well, on paper, and it's a speakeasy. It should be great. It should be perfect.
That bar
for
chose us.
Yeah.
It did choose. It just chose us.
And now we've, just like when a lung transplant chooses somebody, mm-hmm. we've rejected it.
Yeah, we have.
It's not part of our body. You know what I mean? We don't need that lung.
Like in the movie Rat Race, kind of.
Was there a lung rejection in Rat Race?
No, it was a heart, though.
Somebody had a heart?
I don't know.
Rat Race?
Rat Race, I remember Mr. Bean. I remember John Lovitz.
Do you remember
Wanda Sykes? Was Wanda Sykes in Rat Race?
Yes, she was. Okay. Do you remember how Rat Race ends?
Like Wanda Sykes is in every movie.
It ends with all of them crowd surfing to All Star by Smash Mouth.
Nice.
Yeah. Live.
I was when I was sitting in Champs with two P's at the Detroit airport.
That's the right way to do it.
So not the
is
store?
Detroit in the Midwest?
No. Yes, it is.
Is that technically Midwest?
Yeah, I asked everybody to make sure.
How does
sure
that
it
work?
It's in the middle of the country. It's to the west of the east.
Is that what it is?
And it's the middle of
is
it.
Is that
so, yeah.
Midwest? Because that term has always confused me. I'm like, no, it's mid. Because we're on the west. Mm-hmm. Midwest, technically to me, is Arizona. That's Midwest.
No,
the west
no,
part of the United States, it's in the middle of
the
that.
The bread basket. Your Illinois, your Michigan, your Indiana, your Missouri. That's where I think you're talking Midwest. Minnesota, Midwest.
It doesn't make sense.
When you start going out to the Colorados, they got their thing. You go down to like the desert. Texas is his own fucking thing.
It's fucking
and then
up.
You got the South.
And then they go to the South. I'm like, oh, the South. I'm like, no, because Florida's technically in the South, but it's in the East.
I'm sitting in
it's
Champs.
Southeast.
And what comes on? A Little Ditty Stupid. By Smash Mouth, which is the Monkees cover.
Mm.
Which one? What's the name of the actual thing?
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer. That's a fucking jam.
It's a great.
And it's even a better jam now that I sit there and remember 800 of my best friends dancing around and singing and freaking out to it. You know what
weird.
I mean? Yeah.
Life's I had
weird.
A great time that night.
At prom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll never forget the experience of having someone like tap me on the shoulder and be like, hey, your special guest is here. And then going back to the green room and meeting all the people from Smash Mouth. Because they had showed up before, but it was just Greg, the guy who was like DJing to do a sound check.
Did you tell him you didn't respect his craft at that point?
No, because he was doing a DJ set for us and I was really looking forward to it.
Oh, okay.
Now if I saw him,
a lot
I would
of,
say,
oh,
hey,
now you're...
hey, I've learned a little bit about myself.
Listen, man, it was borderline for a while
you.
And now I'm here done. I just
I
can't
don't
do it.
You.
I can't do it.
You know?
Yeah.
You got your Steve Aoki's out there fucking fireworks and shit.
Suki's
and it's like,
brother.
Oh, cool. Good for you. You're playing music, I guess.
Is that a real person, Steve Aoki?
Yeah.
Steve Aoki?
He's the biggest DJ on the
Asian
planet.
Asian dude with the long hair, the DJs that throws cakes in the audience.
Like they did a documentary about it.
Are you familiar with Suki from Too Fast, Too Furious?
I know.
She's the
I
one,
thought I was
the
really,
girl that drives the pink
it.
Car, goes off the bridge, and then goes, slap that ass.
You thought I didn't know what I was talking about
no.
again?
No. Well, that,
possible.
A little bit. And that one, when you said Suki, I was thinking Suki from True Blood, Rogue
Suki.
From the X-Men movies.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, Anna Paquin's got a brother who's a DJ?
No, but I think she does have a brother. So,
I mean, I've heard it both ways.
I've heard it both ways.
He might DJ. He might DJ. Yeah. Mm.
The reason I like Grimecraft is because everything he wears looks so cool.
Yeah.
He's cool.
And he
wore Grimecraft's great because he looks like he's at once from the future, but also like a JRPG game in the future.
Also, like he's like, he looks, yeah, exactly. He looks, because he's doing that style where everything's long, where all the shirts are long, and then he's got the ninja pants style. On. Yeah. And like, that's so cool. And I don't think I'll ever feel confident enough to do that. Harley from Epic Mealtime does that style, but he's also 19 feet tall and jacked.
So yeah, I was going to say he's cut so much web.
Funky Cool Medina does that Lou style, where the shirt's a little longer. My shirts, and this is the reason why I can't do the style, are long by necessity because I wear larges.
What would it take for us to have Grimecraft dress you one day and just make a video out of it?
I would do it.
Patreon tier. Set a milestone of like we've set this, which will give us $1,000, $2,000 just to give
on a shopping spree
to hire a documentary crew to file a Grimecraft dressing Nick Serpino.
I don't even know where you go to get those long shirts. Where do you go?
Knowing Grimecraft, Japantown.
Yeah, what obscure boutique store in Japantown do I go to get those?
Now those shows are just shirts are just normal shirts.
But they're not where I go, man. J. Crew doesn't sell them. That's for sure. That's for sure.
Still shopping J. Crew.
Every now and again.
Yeah.
My denim jacket's from J. Crew. I like certain pieces from J. Crew. Certain pieces.
Okay.
That's fair. All over the place for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't gone in a store in a long time.
I want to take you shopping.
We can let Grimecraft dress both of us. Or we can do it as like a round robin thing where Grimecraft dresses you.
Yeah.
You dress me.
Okay.
I dress Kevin. Kevin goes out for a job interview.
That's great. I will say this. The one and only time I've taken you shopping.
Yeah.
Was what I imagine it's like having a child.
100%.
You were just like,
dude, I remember miserable.
I'm like, Greg, show me the pants. No. Greg, show me the pants. I don't wanna. Greg, just come out and show me the pants. And you came out and you go, I don't know. Are they good? I'm like, do you like them? I don't know. What do you think? You don't like them? I don't know. You have to know something, Greg. You have to have some feeling about
this. That is how it is to have a kid.
Yeah. I don't like this. I don't like this at all.
But you,
like
that's the thing is I'm never going to like any of it.
Yeah, I know.
You've got it.
I know. I just told you which ones to get.
That's why I like Nordstrom's because they used to get excited when I would walk in and they'd go, what do you... And I'd wait and I'd look around and finally somebody would come out of the show and be like, excuse me, sir, can I help you? And I'd turn to them and I'd say, yes, please dress me. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, I just need clothes. And like, and what are you looking for? And I'm like, whatever you want. Like,
blank
and
slate.
The women were always like very excited about it. Like, really? Yeah. And the guys were always like, oh, all right, whatever.
I do not want to do this.
Yeah. I feel like that's, you got to find the right salesperson to help you out with that. Cause you get the person who's like, I'm really into my job. I like style.
Yeah.
And they're Johnny go lucky. Like, hey, pull some stuff for you just in case. Throw it over, which I don't like. I appreciate the hustle, but I didn't ask for those. Don't give me something I didn't ask for. You understand me, Tim? Just give me what I want.
What? Who
and anticipate.
What
the only time
I don't
ever,
like because I was like, oh, so I found these jeans for you too. I'm like, do I not look like the kind of person who knows exactly what I want? Just give me exactly what I want. Pull the fire. They're putting shit over there. I'm like, those are fucking pink. I don't want pink jeans.
Only time I've ever seen somebody get more excited when I turned over all control is at a Comic-Con when I walked into a random hair salon and the woman sat me down. She's like, all right, what do you want? I'm like, I don't know. Whatever you think would look good. She's like, really? I'm like, yeah. And she gave me the exact same fucking
and you
haircut.
You walked out with the same haircut?
Yeah, because there's nothing you can do to this. There's no... Other than giving me a mohawk.
No, that'd be dope.
You can't do nothing.
I want a mohawk so badly.
Just do it.
You got one time where they did a little bit of a fade on your sides and you hated it and it looked great.
I don't know if I hated it.
You hated it.
Oh, did I? Okay.
Yeah, because it doesn't look like Clark Kent's hair.
Sure.
And you love Clark Kent.
That's a big part of it, yeah. Even now, it's too long, though. I was catching myself in photos from the Kellogg's thing.
I like it. I think you guys should... Like, everyone's hair is great here. You guys should... You should grow it out a little bit. It'd be fun.
No, I've done it before. It doesn't do it.
Just not do it.
If I growed it out, how do you want it to look? Am I just parting it down the middle? Because like, it's like the beard where it's gonna be awkward for a while, and I don't
keep it parted like that.
No, it gets too fluffy on the sides. I get the hair in the. I already got the gorilla neck. Greg Miller, number one crane operator.
Oh, where it's fuzzy.
When I was a little cub, he'd be like, "Oh, you got a gorilla neck? Let's go get a haircut." And like, and he'd be like, "That's more of a monkey."
Yeah, fuck off, Dad.
Fuck
you,
this is why I'm gonna do drugs.
Yeah, dude.
I'm gonna do all sorts of cool methamphetamines.
Today's sponsor is Hims. That's right, forhims.com. They, of course, are a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, sexual wellness, and more for men. Of course, you've heard us talk about Hims. That's forhims.com before. Nick and Andy are both using it right now to keep their hair. Of course, once you start losing your hair, it's a pain to keep it. So they're trying to right now. Of course, Andy keeps eating those gummies. The way they do it is super simple. You go to forhims.com. You answer some questions. You send some photos. A doctor sends back advice. Then... They send you the prescription that's right for you. Of course, this is easy. No waiting rooms, no awkward doctor visits. You just get the quality products at a fraction of the cost. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Right now, my listeners get a trial of Hims for just $5 while supplies last. You can see the website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or pharmacy. Go to forhims.com/Greggy. That's forhims.com/Greggy. forhims.com/Greggy. Get your hair on. They don't have a slogan, I don't think.
I don't know.
Tim?
Yeah.
What's your topic?
I mean, the topic was just going to be RTX and you being in Detroit.
Sure.
I don't think we need to talk too much about RTX, which we just did. But I just want to say, confirmed as of now, RTX is my favorite convention.
Oh, really?
Period. E3, I almost don't count because it's such a different
thing. That's not really. It's a different. That's more business.
Because, yeah, that's my thing. Is like, that's more business. If you counted E3 press conferences.
That's what they call B2B. B2B.
Business to business. Exactly.
That's like business. Not to be confused with champ. To champ.
Champ. No, like RTX to me is more about entertaining people that come
exactly.
To the show.
And what I love about it is if press conferences counted, E3 is my favorite. I fucking love the hype. It's all great. But in terms of the PAXs, in terms of the MomoCon,
the PSXs,
like the PSXs, all this stuff, RTX is just so fucking awesome because everyone is there for a general reason, being some group from Rooster Teeth. And there's not too many of them, so everyone's kind of aware of the other groups, and it's like everyone feels a lot more connected as opposed to a PAX, where at PAX, it's a lot of different groups, and people are there for a ton of different reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At Roosie, it just feels like there's like a central kind of grounding for
everyone. Well, there's a central planning department that goes, hey, you're all scheduled for various things, and that inherently, I think, makes people interact with each other. Like like the fact that you'll have panels or things, or everyone's on different things, or just the fact that there's an a group that's above everyone organizing the whole thing makes it feel way different than a PAX. Because PAX is like, you go, you do whatever you want to do. You get whatever you want out of it. You submit a panel. That's cool. But I don't believe that they give a shit that Tim meets someone who's never met before. Whereas RT really wants people to collaborate. So they're sort of like creating the environment where collaboration can happen.
And I feel like they've grown so much and have so many different teams that can support different, aspects of the business that really benefit us and how we work, because we're similar. And I feel like this RTX was a very good example of the potential of what us maximizing a convention could look like. Mm-hmm. Where we did Let's Play Live, which was an awesome fucking stage Crushed. Show. We had
I heard Johnny showed up. I couldn't make it.
Yeah, he was there.
Was he cool? He lost the title to Andy.
Kind of a dick.
Too bad for him. He didn't say anything about it. He just had a great time.
No, weird.
Off one of the best panels we ever had, I think.
On Sunday?
The signing's a blast as always.
Sure.
And then we did the stand-up comedy night that I chalk up as a major success.
That was so fun.
At the same venue that I've seen multiple comedy shows on Netflix at. Like, it's, I thought it was fucking really cool. And like seeing different people throughout the weekend, like there was a bunch of different groups. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't just the same people over and over, but there was a contingent of people that went to everything. It's fucking cool.
What was it like for the premiere of your RT first doc? For the punchline.
That was really, really cool. I had a lot of anxiety going into that. I think that was the thing I've been most nervous about for last week. But it manifested itself.
Guys, there's a spaceship taking off outside.
Just the fucking alien horde outside trying to eat the fucking sidewalk. No, I was looking forward to it. I was very nervous about it. Tim and I had seen a cut.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if they show the cut that we have seen, I'm happy with it. But we gave them a bunch of notes, and I know that they wanted to go back. And they got a bunch of notes from Matt and from Bernie and the team over there.
I was a little less happy with it. I want to put that out there.
Well,
the first cut. Yeah.
I mean, had they been like, hey, we didn't get a chance to do the second cut, like we're just showing this, I'd be like, cool. Like, it's a work in progress.
It was fine.
And even this was a working print, by the way. This wasn't the final cut.
There's still more.
They're going to do more. They've got more sound. They're going to edit some more stuff.
If I may.
Yeah.
I want to throw up a quick T for timeout, not for technical.
Okay.
And I'm sure we're doing the same thing. A lot of people don't watch everything we do.
Sure.
What is waiting for the punchline for all the long haul truck drivers who didn't see stuff from RTX?
So
I'm thinking of you guys right now. Toot your horn.
Copy that. Waiting for the punchline is a feature length documentary that I followed me around as well as the comedies. Basically, followed me and the comedy scene in SF and sort of chronicles my journey from going from being an open mic comedian to trying to do my first ever set officially at the punchline. Now, for a lot of people who don't know or haven't been following me, or I haven't really talked about it a lot, I guess, specifically in the last few months, I go to the punchline pretty much every Sunday night for what's called the SF Sunday Showcase. I do that for two reasons. One, I enjoy it and I like to support the community. But two, that's the way you get officially an opportunity to get auditioned for and become a regular at the Punchline. That takes a very long process. That takes a very long time. But you generally get your first set officially. And by officially, I mean we could go right now and book Punchline for what's called a bringer show, which means that if all of us just can get 200 people in the room or some close to that number, we can recoup our expenses and we can just do that. And people do that. And I've done those shows at Cobbs. My goal right now is to officially be passed by Punchline, meaning I become a regular. If I were down at the Comedy Store, it means I got my name up on the wall. It means that you are officially like a comic. You come from someplace. You are like, I'd be a Punchline guy at that point. So
you go every Sunday to an open mic.
No, I go every Sunday to an actual showcase. A paying audience pays to go and see the SF Showcase.
Really good. Like, and out of all the comedy shows I've been to, that and the Comedy Store ones, I'm like, holy shit, they are so much better than anything else we've ever seen.
But when you go there on Sunday, there's a chance you might get picked up?
So the way the booker organizes the show, organizes the show is it's usually a combination of people who have been passed, who are guaranteed one, like once you're passed, one of the cool things is they don't guarantee it necessarily, but you usually get one or two sets a month at the showcase.
Okay.
So if I, Nick Scarpino, who've been doing comedy for 10 years and have been passed,
I'm touring,
I come back, I'm in town on Sunday, I stop by, gotcha. They're probably going to give me a set. I'm going to get like 7 minutes, 5 to 7 minutes. It's a combination of really good up and coming comics who are almost to that point or have surpassed that point, and then the people like me who are trying to get to that point. So you'll get maybe like, you know, you get 5 to 7 minute sets and it's 2 hours. I don't know. I can't do the math on that right now. But say out of 10 or 15 comics that go up, 10 of them are great guys, stellar, almost regulars or have been passed and are going.
Regular
and
then
five of them are, I get my first set.
Okay.
And so I told Jeff Ramsey about this when I was doing my first big show at Cobbs. And he was like, that's really interesting. Can I go? Are you like, you're doing a show tonight? Can I go with you to the mic that you want to warm up on first? Because I was super nervous about it. I was like, yeah, come to that mic. You can see that process. Then you can see me kind of in a different environment, which is this 400 seat comedy club at Cobbs. And he was so enthralled with it. He went back and told Lou and he told Matt and Bernie that, hey, this should be a subject of an RT doc. And they were like, cool, let's do it.
Okay.
And so that went from, oh, that'd be really cool like to
March.
Be able. Yeah, that was March. And that went from me and Tim going, how cool would it be to like, because Tim's been along for this ride probably closer than anyone else. He comes to all the shows and like films me and has been my biggest fucking advocate. All
right, well, don't insult Cool Greg. I'm pretty sure Cool Greg goes.
Cool Greg does, but then Cool Greg sometimes comes, gets drunk, and then disappears. And then I look at the list and it's got all sorts of tagging on it and my name's like highlighted. And I'm like, well, clearly they know it's me that I did this. But no, so my goal for this was to really highlight what people go through to even get to that first step, which is getting through at a place like Punchline.
Gotcha.
Going from doing 3 to 4 open mics a night, or I shouldn't say night, maybe let's say like 2 to 3 open mics per night, as many nights as you can get out there, to then trying to book your own showcases, to then getting attention or noticed by Punchline and getting through there. And so I told Tim that and he was like, that's a great sort of context for this period in your life. And that's a great start and finish because I was just coming up on my year mark of having gone every Sunday, which means that technically I could feel okay approaching the booker and saying, hey, you know, I've been here for a year. Just let you know, I'm on your, like, let me get on your radar.
If
you want to put me up, cool. If not, that'll be the end of the documentary as I never got a chance to go up. Maybe sure. I'll get a chance to go up that one day. And so that's what I really wanted to do. And I also wanted to give all my friends that I've made as comics, all my comic friends out there, just a little bit of a highlight because they're all putting the work in and they're all fucking crazy, cool people.
So they film all this. They show you guys the cut.
We filmed it over about 4 weeks, including a crew coming back for a couple Sundays just to see if I got a chance to actually go up a Punchline. And then they go away for a while, and then the first cut comes out. And I got it like 4 days before I watched it because I have this I cannot watch myself. I cannot do it in that context. I even have trouble going back and like watching the morning show. Like I'll pause it and then answer comments because I'm like, I don't want to hear myself talk.
Sure.
I annoy the shit out of myself. I can't understand how people watch me.
Meanwhile,
Timmy immediately fires this shit up.
Oh, I need to fucking watch this shit. So I brought it home. Me and Gia watched it, and I took a bunch of notes. And it was.
Did Gia have her shoes on?
No, dude. She had those shoes everywhere. But I was watching it, and it was so strong in the beginning. And I feel like it just lost the storyline pretty early on.
Yeah.
And we're just watching. I'm like, and it was an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah,
like,
it was long.
It's a long thing to be like following the story. I felt like there was way too many threads and like there was just a lot of issues. And then I came back to you and I was like, Nick, you should watch it. Like,
I was going to watch it. Yeah. I just had to muster
Nick's
the courage.
Like, nah, it's called Prince.
Well, because originally he told me, he's like, I'm not going to watch it.
It's one of those things where I'm like, I didn't want to necessarily, like, it's just hard for me to watch. It's hard for me to watch myself, especially since there's some specific scenes where I'm like, wow, that's painful to watch.
To be clear,
really painful to watch.
With everything I'm saying, it was never bad.
No, yeah.
It was at that place where I'm like, this is a 6 out of 10.
You're like, we're almost there.
It's like, I was there, so I knew what we had. I'm like, oh, there has to be a better way to tell the story.
And that's the thing with like, and this is every project I've ever worked on that I truly like cared about that was intricate, right? Is that there's always that point when you're going through the post where you think, it's, oh, fuck. Like, there's always a breaking point where you go, let's try to tweak a few things. Let's try to sculpt this. And then it clicks. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when we sat down to watch it a second time, so I ended up having my wife watch it first. And I had her take notes. I was like, I need your perspective on this. I asked Tim for his perspective. I was like, everyone take notes. Like, we weren't going to.
Let's get my perspective now.
What? You're in like Battle Creek, Michigan, fucking reenacting the Civil War. So everyone does that. I sit down, finally watch it. And I'm like, there's a lot here. I think the cut's there. It's just not there yet. And that's always the thing you have to remind yourself of. Like, when it's something as intricate as this, there's lots of different narrative threads mm-hmm. going on. And there's some things that like a little change here and there and a little sculpting, a little just if everyone kind of can agree that certain things need to be taken out, we can get it to a different point. And I was like, I'll be happy if we can get this up to like a 7.5 out of 10. And then we go, and I didn't expect to see a second cut or have another round mm-hmm. of revisions because we're not necessarily, I'm not directing this thing. We go to sit down, and I'm like, I don't know how this is going to react. And a couple things really, I thought, spoke to the strength of this thing. One, I thought that this cut was far better than the other cut.
Oh my God, I was blown away. And like, if the other one was like S6, this one is at least a 9. Like, it might not be a 10, and I'm only saying that because like,
You're close to the project.
A 10 sounds,
close. You're a little close to getting.
But fuck, man, it's such like they found the story. They found the stories, and like
as someone who doesn't like Nick and mm-hmm. doesn't like Jeff or any Funhouse, I love Tony Sparks. And hadn't seen it before. Like I was floored. Like I can't fathom from what I saw on Saturday at the premiere of this cut. Right, yeah, this work in progress. They have a lot of stuff to do. Yeah. I can't fathom what it looked like before because this was so good. Like I was just I was crying so proud at the end. I was so proud of Nick. I was crying at the end. Meanwhile, Jen had been crying for like the final like 40 minutes because there was so much shit happening.
It's little tweaks. There weren't a ton of like. Over like it's not like I looked at this and go, oh wow, they really
it's a completely threw different
an
movie.
Extra 20 minutes. There was extra stuff in here and some stuff just, was taken out.
It's like a
it
line
was
more here that gives things context.
Yeah. Yeah,
like
yeah.
There's shots and there's like B-roll and like I don't want to give things away, but like there's like moments of things that happen that in the original cut there was no reference to
you just
earlier.
Talked about context for
so
it,
yeah. It's like you're like, oh man, or I think a good example, and I can talk about this because it's the
point.
I mean,
you can talk about anything, it doesn't matter.
In point of the entire doc is Nick waiting to go up at the punchline and there wasn't a good. He talked about it at the beginning of the doc, and it was at the end of the doc. There's an hour.
You don't get reminded of it in the middle.
You're not reminded.
Yeah, gotcha.
And this really made it. They added dates to it to like show the time of like how many like over the year Nick put into doing all of it.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Like little things like that like bring it together because the original cut made it all feel like it was 3 days.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Wow. No, this one definitely showed.
And there's some B-roll of me like I talked about jiu-jitsu and I talked about the sort of parallels between doing stand-up and jiu-jitsu, anything that's really hard and challenging. And I think that some of that kind of came out of nowhere in the first cut. And I think in this, there's a little bit more context for it. So it doesn't look like I'm just getting the shit kicked out of me for no reason and sweating with dudes.
Yeah. So like an example of that is when the original Game Over Grady show, when we did New Year's resolutions, Nick was like, I have two. One of them's jiu-jitsu and one of them's stand-up comedy. And in the first cut, they didn't have him say the jiu-jitsu part. Mm. It was just the stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
So when we saw jiu-jitsu later, it was like, what the fuck?
What the fuck? What the fuck?
Yeah, yeah.
But now they added that line, and it now it like shows that kind of parallel.
That's awesome.
The two.
Yeah.
Man, and it,
I want to give a shout out to Tony Sparks as well. You guys have probably heard me talk about him, but he is so fucking fascinating. Well, the way that came about was I was like, he was a part of the original pitch where I was like, you got to interview Tony.
Yeah.
Tony is a guy that like anchors people in
time
a comedy
out. Scene. Who's Tony? If somebody hasn't heard you talk
Tony
about him
Sparks
before.
Is, we call him the godfather of comedy in San Francisco. He hosts a ton of open mics. He was the first ever person I interacted with when I went to an open mic at the Brainwash. He hosted that mic for years before it shut down, sadly. And he is just, everyone knows Tony. To the point where one time, because of the documentary, he doesn't normally go to Punchline, but I got him to go to Punchline because we wanted to get some B-roll of him outside interacting with everyone. He showed up, and I have never seen the booker interact with him before in my life. And the second he walked in, the booker walked right over and was like, do you want a set? Can I get you? Like, can you please do a set? We'd love for you to do a set. And he was like, that was, you know, it was awesome. So everyone knows Tony. He's famous.
Did he do the set?
Yeah. Fucking nice. Crushed.
Of course he did. Tony Sparks. He's amazing.
But Tony just
Tony Sparks, I've gone, you know, I'm sorry that I'm not on Tim's level or Cool Greg, who you snubbed.
Get on my
but when level. Whenever I get to go and I, you know, I'm invited, Tony's always hilarious and always seems like a very like heartwarming, down to earth guy. But, you know, I've never had a conversation with the man. And so then to see this, like, and actually have him just talk at length, to see him shepherd you through it, to see him talk to Jeff, it was amazing.
My favorite thing is that he's like, some of these people think they're funny as hell. They're not. He's just so candid about it. And then, of course, as part of the documentary, we got a bunch of people together and y'all did your first show. And that was something we tweeted out like the day of, just to try to get some people out. And of course, ton of great people came out in the SF area. And so that was the thing I was most excited about. So simultaneously that same day, I was most nervous about the documentary, most excited about the show we were going to do that night and recreating that moment for people at RTX. And I got a lot of people who were saying they were disappointed about not being there. Don't worry. Next time we do it, we'll try to book a bigger venue.
And to be clear, like, we booked a 200 and something person venue
and sold out in 40 minutes.
You don't get much bigger than that with comedy, because then you lose the
intimacy,
the feel of the room.
Yeah. Dude, go home tonight and watch Dane Cook on the Circle stage. All right, what we need.
You're right.
We can fill an arena.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some Kevin Hart shit.
They did. They filled an arena size audience for Let's Play Live. That
exactly.
Must have been like thousands of people in that audience.
Exactly. Why didn't we get that room?
We'll work up to it. But okay. For me, it's just, you know, I talked about comedy as one of the few things in my life that I'm doing just for the sheer fun of it. Like, and I think that that's something I've really learned about comedy, is that I followed that as just, this is a really fun thing to do. Kind of fell in love with it. And what's up?
My eyelids stick together.
Oh, I thought you were like, I thought I said something.
I
sometimes when you give him that look, I'm like,
it looked like the look.
He gave you the look,
uh-huh.
And you gave him look back like, what happened? I'm confused. Which is usually my look that I give him.
My favorite, there was once an old Game Over Greggy show where, I turned to Tim and you just had enough of it. You're like, what? What are you fuckers laughing about? And he was like, totally not in a good place. It didn't come from a good place at all.
But no, I mean, that's been part of the fun of this. And that was so much fun about that day, is we did a project to highlight something that I'm legitimately passionate about. I really started from a place of like, I just think this is such a nutty environment to be in.
Yeah.
And these people that are in the SF comedy scene are so fucking, they're such characters.
Yeah.
But when I met Tony, I remember thinking to myself, this would be fucking such a cool thing to document, because this is such a hard and unique thing that you don't encounter that often in life. And you know, to see that materialize over a year and a half, to then having this beautiful project that's an hour and 15 minutes long, and then being able to host my first show with all of you guys, not only being like there, but being supportive and wanting to hang out and have fun. Like, your set was so fun because you got up and you were just like, I'm gonna have fun. And you told your stories and you made everyone laugh and you got shots of you laying on the thing. And like, it was cool to be able to sit back and be like, to some degree, I've helped facilitate this.
Yeah, of course.
But we've made this thing.
Yeah,
that's one of the cool things about what we get to do here is we just make stuff.
Well, it's what you've talked about too, right? We've kicked around for the longest time. When we go to RTX, when we go to Comic-Con, when we go to PAX, doing something outside of the con that isn't just a meet and greet at a bar, right? Because usually the cons facilitate that, where we do the panel, you hang out, you get autographs,
sure,
you get there, or there's an autograph signing or something like that. And so you've talked about it before, and I feel like this is a good function of that, right? Of like, hey, it's kind of funny comedy night or whatever, where you go do and see these things.
Yeah, and I don't know necessarily, I'm not thinking about it from like a monetization standpoint.
Oh, I fucking am. You know what I mean?
Doesn't, you're doing it for fun. You know me, man.
No.
The fucking schemes are going.
And that's great. And there's totally ways like that we will probably charge people for it in the future. But like they did on this one. But I'm looking at it more from the standpoint of like, I really just thought, I'm like, I bet if we do this, it's going to be a really fun thing that a lot of people that traditionally go to an RTX aren't necessarily expecting. And I got a lot of nice feedback of people saying like, hey, just so you know, this was like my favorite part of RTX, because you got to see people perform in a way more intimate setting. It's like comedy is so much different than a Let's Play Live where it's five people on stage and the energy is, it's just, it's not better or worse. It's just different energy.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Whereas we go on stage and I'm like, we got to bring fucking 800% of energy because there's 3,000 people in this thing and people are screaming and there's beers flying and we're playing games and fucking Johnny Ace showed up. Was like, I was like, I didn't even know he was going to be there, which is crazy. Right.
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
And then you get a 200 seat venue where people, you know, you can see everyone and people are expecting and there's just, you connect differently with the audience. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the energy of like everyone doing it for the second or third time. Like that was Jeff's third time and he was, I made him headline and he was like, I'll probably go, you know, Jeff, he's like, I'll probably do 7 minutes. He did 15 minutes. Like I lit him three times and eventually just put my phone back in my pocket because it's about to like, let him go. Just let him know what he wants to do. But I love this. And, you know, like Ellis did it for Comic-Con. And I'm like, what a cool thing to be able to do for everyone that's there. Like, hey, you maybe can't get into an industry party. Come party with us. We're going to do comedy for a couple hours and drink some cocktails and have some fun.
So that was the comedy show. We talked about the doc premiere.
Right.
Waiting for the punchline.
Yeah.
You said in there something about the, it was nice, our project kind of thing. And it's our project. But in reality, this is the first time in quite a while where you've just got to be talent on something. This isn't a Kind of Funny production. This is a Rooster Teeth production. Yeah. They're making a documentary about you.
Now, to be fair, because of the nature of this project, I also felt like we had to do a lot of some of the organizing, like heavy lifting on it.
Producing.
Simply because, producing, I guess, is a better term for that. I'm like, oh, there's got to be a term for like when you help facilitate things. Yeah, I think they call it producing. Largely because this is my world.
Sure.
Like, imagine if someone was like, who are you? What are you doing? You'd have to shepherd them through. You'd have to handshake them. You'd have to make
you
sure.
You were making the introductions.
So there was a lot of that, but it's weird. The cool part for me is letting go of that control of the post-production process. Of being like, I have to trust that the director and the producers and the editor know what they're doing, and they have to bring their eye to it. Because if it were me, you know me, I'd be back in the room fiddling around with the edit for the next 6 months, and it would never come out.
Sure.
And so I think that's been part of a really eye-opening and I think a growth part, for, like a place for growth for me personally and professionally, because I'm like, I just want to let it go. I'll give them whatever notes I can, but it's not, that's not my responsibility.
Whatever that final product looks like, it's going to be theirs. Yeah, we're not.
And, you know, I think having my faith renewed in their abilities, like I have since I saw the first shot, I was like, oh, these guys are great. They know what they're doing. And shout out to Brian, the DP, because he just filmed the city. Killed it looks it, fucking gorgeous. It's killer. But being able to, it was a great working relationship because for me, I hate when I feel like I'm doing too much work or I'm doing the bulk of the work, right? In this, I felt like they were utilizing me as a tool and to open the door into the SF scene.
Yeah.
And I loved that because it meant that the more work I put in, the more visibility they had on the various nooks and crannies of this thing that I wanted to show off. And so I found myself just like, what do you need me to do? I'll go there. I'll like, I was almost a PA on the project at a certain point. Cause I'm like, sure. I will go by punchline and I will talk to the manager there and we will, you know, I'll connect with him. And they're like, and Matt, the director was like, you don't need to do that. We'll do it when we get there. I'm like, no, I want to. Cause it gives me an excuse. It gives me a reason to network with people
because
I've got this cool project that I think is legitimately going to be great if they're in.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not selling, like I would go up to comics, like I want you to be in this and they'd be reluctant. I'm like, I've never been able to sell something so easily, not because I'm a good salesperson, but because I love it and believe in it so much that I'm not selling snake oil.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like that's, I mean, it's the same thing we do here. I'm like, people should watch the morning show. It's super fun. I like it. If you don't, fuck off. This was like,
solidarity. People
are like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, it's going to be a feature length documentary about the scene and you're going to be in it. It's going to be great. And so that was really fun. I can't wait for everyone to see it.
Yeah. That was my next thing.
I'm so excited for everyone to see it. And again, working with that team, they're amazing, super helpful, super willing to ask for help when they needed it, which I always appreciate. Yeah. I helped out getting a lot of the B-roll together, and like I have so much footage of Nick doing comedy at like probably 30 different open mics.
Yeah.
And so I was able to send them that like with dates on everything that I've just been archiving because I'm one of those crazy people.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know one day we're going to have this story to tell. Didn't expect it to be so quick.
It was quick.
But like the documentary fucking is better off for it because it's like we have the shit to it up.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It's definitely
like the juxtaposition between you performing stand-up comedy in a bar to three people that I have footage of compared to you crowd surfing at Kind of Funny Live.
It's weird.
It's like, cool. It's cool that we have all of that to give them and it's all in there and it really makes it feel like a
Do you sell the sex tape?
Content. The sex tape?
Yeah.
I mean, I gave it to them. They didn't make the cut. Okay, I thought that was weird.
But I guess it makes people throw up.
The biggest question we've gotten since talking about it, because we've talked about it obviously here, but then, you know, we were talking about how great it was and how much it made me cry and all that jazz. When is it coming out?
We don't know yet.
Okay.
So here's the thing. What I can say about it is we are trying to get it into proper film festivals.
Okay. Yeah.
If that's the case, it is not allowed to be anywhere else.
Yeah.
Because film festivals have like first...
Yeah, rules. This is a thing for heel kick that was a problem,
or whatever it is. So it's like we got to work through all of that.
So yeah, I think we're trying to figure out and identify some festivals that we can get into right now. Obviously, we're showing another cut of it. I don't know if it's gonna be the final cut. Probably not. At Out of Bounds Festival in Austin. So I'll be back in Austin in a month to show that and do a Q&A.
Okay,
and we're gonna do a little show before that as well. Me and some of the locals.
We're definitely trying to work on getting some screenings together in other places as well.
Yeah.
And I can promise that eventually you will see it. Like for sure.
Yeah. Eventually it'll be on Rooster Teeth
on
first.
Rooster Teeth, yeah.
And that's the thing, it's a Rooster Teeth first thing, right?
It is a Rooster Teeth first.
RT docs are only on first.
RT docs are exclusive to first.
Yeah.
So you do need to pay for it. There is a free trial, but eventually that will be the case.
But importantly, if you miss the screenings and you're gonna do that, don't sign up until it's about to go up, right? Because we'll get some kind of code or some shit, right? And to show that, like,
if
our kind of funny
friends. If you want to give RT First a shot, just for whatever, you can go to rooster.com/kindoffunny, I want to say
it is.
Or rooster.com/first, promo code kindoffunny. Whatever it is, like that, it does help us.
But wait, if you're one of those people who, I don't fucking want to pay, wait for the free trial and use it.
I can say this, like, openly, like, we are trying to get our content on Rooster Teeth in the same way that we have it on YouTube and we have it in other places. There's a lot of behind the scenes stuff.
So you're talking about all the free content that goes up on YouTube.
All the
trying content. To get in there. It's just another distribution.
Just like it's a syndication platform.
Yeah, the same way we just got on Spotify and all that. Like, yeah, trying to get the video stuff on roosterteeth.com in addition to everywhere else. And once we get that figured out, pretty much it's like one of those chicken and the egg things, figuring out the film festival stuff and figuring out how we can get all our stuff properly archived and on Rooster Teeth. But then once those two things are answered, which we're hoping is as soon as possible.
Yeah. And to pull the curtain aside, it's because Tim and I are so fucking proud of this. We want to milk the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Like, I want to get as much mileage out of this as possible. I want it to be seen by as many people as possible and get as much buzz as possible because I'm so tremendously proud of it.
This thing is bigger than us. And I feel like there's been a handful of times in our life as kind of funny that we've had moments that I'm like, wow, this is really something super, super special. And I feel like this is the latest, and not the last, but latest example.
Milestone moment.
Yeah.
It's a big moment.
So then for a naysayer on, say, Reddit, who wouldn't be happy that we're putting our stuff on Rooster Teeth? Why are we putting our stuff on Rooster Teeth?
Rooster Teeth made it.
No. I'm talking about the other thing. Of course, the doc. Content, yeah, the RT doc. But you're talking about syndicating our stuff to Rooster Teeth.
Oh, I mean, why? There's no argument I can see that would make sense for that not to make sense.
Like, I'm 100% with you, but I just want to have that conversation that's been presented at the table.
I mean,
right?
What I just said, RTX is my favorite convention because it has a bunch of great people that just want to like great things, and we've seen over the last couple of years a growth in the amount of people in our panel because of being at Let's Play Live, being part of the community, making friends with all these like-minded or very different people when it comes to people like Sugar Pine 7, Funhouse, like the whole gamut over there. And it's like, it's not like, oh, we want their audiences, but it definitely is, how can we grow the best friend community to be even better and stronger?
I think you nailed it. Yeah, we don't want their audience. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't want all of the Funhouse people to come, Funhouse fans to come watch our content. I want the best friends in the Funhouse audience to come watch our content.
Totally.
The people who watch off topic and think that's a fun idea for a show, come watch the fucking original one before Jack Patillo ripped us off, the Game Over Greggy show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't think about it. Just say yes. Don't think about
it. The amount of people I saw at RTX this year that were telling me, like, hey man, like, I just started watching you because I saw you at Let's Play Live, watch the morning show every day. Yeah. I'm this person in the chat or whatever. It's like, it's really fucking inspiring to see us kind of not just have this like San Francisco games media really small kind of reach and be able to talk to people around the freaking world. It's awesome. I mean, a good example is we're going to London, right? I mean, you're going to London to meet people, and it's like it's because of that type of relationship. And
no, I mean, that's the biggest thing about it, right? Of when it came along, my thought on it, right, was of course we're going to do it. Because why wouldn't I? It's something, honestly, that I think we don't get to do a lot of, but I think IGN taught us, especially at the end, right, of like our time there, because where IGN had evolved to, in the way that we can't sit there and say All right, well, they're going to come to kindoffunny.com. They're going to come to IGN.com. The day of a .com homepage is kind of dead, right? You want
to
be...
go to kindoffunny.com if you want to see all our content and schedule. It's great.
Of course, well, it's great.
There's specific use cases.
But I'm saying in terms of... I know. I'm just trying to say... You can give me scratches, yeah. But in terms of you have to go to the audience, right? Like, you have to figure out... We're trying to figure out how to be better on Facebook. We're trying to figure out how to get best friends and find them anywhere they are. And so sending them to Rooster Teeth makes sense because guess what? The people who only watch their videos on Rooster Teeth don't watch the YouTube videos and don't find us on YouTube and don't find us on podcast services. I think that's the thing, right? Try to find that audience. Nick Scarpino.
You guys are being way too humble. I want our content on Rooster Teeth because we're just better than all those guys over there.
Well, that's true, too.
Of course. Once we start putting our content on there, everyone at Rooster Teeth is like, we have had the wool pulled from our eyes. Yeah. This Bernie Burns character, this Gus Sorolla character, they don't know what they're talking about. We got to come over to the game. It's all about the Game Over Radio Show.
Exactly. Well, that's kind of funny games daily, probably.
Grow the ranks. Take over the world.
Sure.
You see what I'm saying?
Next question, ranks, take over Tim. The world. Yeah. And I'm just being the naysayer for you.
Real quick, I want to, if there's anybody out there that does have a compelling argument against this, I would love to hear it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not shutting anyone down. But like, before you even answer that, like, what would be the difference between Stitcher and Rooster Teeth, right?
I totally agree with you. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I think it's the... You know as well as I do, and I'm sure some people who are watching or do are best friends, depending on how much you want to watch any of our platforms, Reddit, Twitter, whatever. There's always this concern that we're becoming too much like Rooster Teeth, or that Rooster Teeth is going to buy us and change everything, or blah, 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 and all these other arguments that personally I don't find validity in. We're going to be ourselves, and we're going to do it, but... I want to address it head on, of course, as we continue to have this conversation with them of putting the content out there. Yes, that's the best way to put it. This is another Spotify for us. This is another Stitcher. This is another way to get the content in the hands of somebody else. It's another way to, okay, cool. It's very similar to IGN, where we used to sit there and the IGN views on the YouTube or the IGN views on IGN.com were what we cared about and needed and fuck everything else. And then it was a way of like, well, wait, if we put it everywhere else, if you give it Snapchat, if you give it Instagram, if you give it this, if you find a way to package it, you find a new audience, you get numbers there as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like the numbers on Rooster Teeth still help us in the long run of what Kind of Funny is.
Yeah. I'm excited. I mean, it's all great. It's only good news. There is, as far as I'm concerned, not a single bad thing about this.
And especially because Rooster Teeth's a bunch of idiots and lets us still promote the Patreon on there. Yeah. So we're just saying, come pay for the fucking content here. You know what I mean? Get all the exclusive access in here. Yeah, exactly. We fucking got them, Kevin. We Trojan horse stand.
I love it.
They're screwed or whatever.
Yeah.
Are we planning to be sold to Rooster Teeth anytime soon?
We will. No. I mean, I don't want to say we will never.
Yeah, never say never.
Never say never. Who the fuck knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
I have no plans of selling to anybody anytime soon.
Yeah.
And if we ever did, it would be the right thing to make us make more of the stuff that we want to do.
Sure.
Like, I don't think that there is any single thing you can look at in the history of Kind of Funny that doesn't make sense as you go through.
Sure.
That's just my perspective on it.
Yeah.
But it's like when you look at where our content is now, you can see the line of how we got there and you can see the line of where we're going.
Yeah.
There might be hitches along the way, but all of us are the same people we were 5 years ago, and I think that we're going to be very similar people in the next five, right?
No. I went to Battle Creek, Michigan. Mm-hmm. Did a meet and greet at Buffalo Wild Wings. It was one of my favorite meet and greets of all time. Of course, everybody's amazing. Everybody's amazing at every meet and greet. Mm-hmm. But we had, I'd say, 75 to 80 throughout the night. Kids come through. At the end, because of course people drove 3 hours to get there. You're fucking all crazy people. At the end, people had started to pair off and leave. I got to go. I got to work tomorrow. I got to do this or whatever. So we got it down to a manageable group, I would say, of 10 tables and a U around me at the center, right? Mm-hmm. And I brought them all together and then just sat down. And I'm like, I guess it's like a Q&A. What do y'all got? And we just started shooting. Awesome. They would ask me questions about Kind of Funny or the content.
That's cool.
And mainly about us, not about like games, like what do you think of this or anything like that. But one of the questions I really enjoyed was from the back of the room over here. I can picture you with glasses and brown hair. Or maybe black. It was dark out. Was like, are you guys planning on being in San Francisco forever? Right. And I was talking about it of like, well, that's a great question. It's something we go back and forth on all the time. Not really back and forth, but something we debate all the time. Yeah. What is the right answer? You can move to LA, you could do this, but San Francisco gives us the game's media reach. And I don't know the people in LA would be the same if we moved to Columbia, Missouri, like I'd always want to, right? It would just be the seven of us and there wouldn't be any things. But at the end of the conversation, the point I stumbled into in the Greg Miller rambling ass way, right, was the fact that, yeah, you're right. We could totally move to a million different places and make more money, have more money, and it would definitely be better for us in the short term in terms of what we could bank in our own savings and then flip the switch, sell the company, and be done with it. But that's never what I planned for with this. You know what I mean?
No,
I want it to be that in 20 years, I'm still, whatever that means in the company, maybe I just host the Game Over Greggy show, but we've hired all these different names you hear about and all these different names I've never even heard of yet, and they're in making content and they're making stuff for the best friends, and that's how it all exists. You know what I mean? And that's the commitment I have to it. So no, it's not like, you know, I don't personally get it, but I know that there's a concern and there's a, you know, a vocal part of the community that is very terrified of what Rooster Teeth is or would do to us or whatever, but we're just using them as another content delivery service, and it doesn't go further than
that. And more than that, I love Rooster Teeth. I always have. That doesn't mean I love everything that they do. That doesn't mean I consume even 90% of their content. I think at this point, I probably consume 10%, if even.
Yeah.
And even of that, that's of their shows, I only watch 3 episodes a season or whatever it ends up being. But anybody that hates Rooster Teeth or whatever, I honestly believe isn't giving them a shot. Because there is, if you're a fan of the internet, if you're a fan of videos, they're doing something that's probably going to be up your alley, because there's such a wide gamut of stuff. It's just like kind of funny on a much bigger scale of if you don't like the shenanigans of the morning show, then maybe Games Daily's style is for you. If you don't like the rigidness of Gamescast being like structured or whatever, it's like, okay, cool, Game Over Greggy show. Like there's so much different stuff for people. But.
Yeah, and day 5's great.
And if then
that's the one piece of content I think I consume from Rooster Teeth. So many times I'm talking. I love Always Open, but I haven't listened since forever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They have so much. And then they got Genlock coming up. Like, there's so much cool shit that they're doing.
Yeah. I agree.
So, Battle Creek, Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
let me tell you about this. We're getting ready to go to RTX. And there starts to be a rumbling from one Kellogg's of the cereal company, ladies and gentlemen, that they want Greg Miller to come to Battle Creek, Michigan and speak. To all the marketers across the country.
Do they know that you don't know how to eat cereal?
This was discussed. This was discussed on the panel.
Were you transparent with it? Because I don't want to get too far down this relationship and have that be a deal breaker.
No, no. It was discussed.
You don't use milk? What, you a fucking psychopath?
I brought up the fact that one of our most popular doodles is me eating cereal like a horse, and then explaining that means I meant it eat a try. Mm-hmm. That got a laugh, and somebody else had brought up the fact that there's a YouTuber. It was a panel of influencers, right? Somebody brought up a thing of like there's somebody who eats it with water. And everybody universally was like, well, that's a bridge too far. That's gross. That's disgusting.
My God. I almost threw up in my mouth.
That's disgusting, right?
Remember the movie where they were like, we drink cereal with beer? Like, we eat cereal with beer?
I do. What movie that was. It was, hold on, Revenge of the Nerds. Revenge of the Nerds, they put beers and Rice Krispies together. That's disgusting. And that's why the nerds were perverts. And were
a great movie.
They would have gone to jail. One you definitely can't remake.
Definitely would have.
We should do a Revenge of the Nerds in review and also rake up their crimes. How many years are these fucking nerds serving in a federal
computer crime?
They hit me up saying that, do you want to come speak to Kellogg's about video games and gamers or whatever? Which I know what you're saying, everybody. Eye roll. No, what a weird, gross thing, right? Of like, that sounds weird because whenever somebody hears marketing, they think gross. Yeah.
At any point, do they play, y'all ready for this? And then Tony the Tiger came out.
No, I'm not even there yet. But what it was is that they were bringing everybody together because Kellogg's wants to do more with gaming, like more with the gaming sphere, and they admittedly don't know anything. Mm-hmm. They're very much like, we don't understand it, and we want to bring in experts.
You're our only
exactly.
Hope.
So I was out there on a panel with a guy from a PR agency called Edelman. You probably don't know it, but behind the scenes, they do a whole bunch of PR stuff for video games. And it was me and then 3 esports personalities, 2 of which are lovely. Lovely ladies who run a company and host stuff and do stuff, and then one guy who used to do stuff with Andrea at Yahoo and now runs a YouTube channel about esports and stuff like that. But I was like,
one of them shocks?
I don't think so.
Mm, well, only esports lady I know.
Oh, sure. Golden Boy wasn't there, of course. My boy. But it was us talking about that on one panel. But then the other panels, they had some people from Twitch, they had people from IGN, not IGN sales team, about how they work with video games and what it is. They had a guy there from Blizzard, they had people there talking about what all gaming is. And what was awesome for all these people in the crowd from Kellogg's was they were there and they were engaged. You ever do it where you go there and everybody's on their phone, not listening, half listening, taking notes, whatever? The panels would not even end. In the middle of panels, people would raise their hands and ask questions about what you were saying. That's trying to understand it. Yeah. And, you know, it was when they originally hit me up, I was like, this is such a weird thing. But then to sit there and have them explain it in email of like, well, no, it's that, you know, we see how other brands are doing it. We don't want to do it in a gross, weird way. We want to find out organically, how do you do this? How do you advertise in 2018? How do you advertise on the internet? How do you integrate with something, right? And so to go there, I was obviously picked because of you, the best friends and everything else we do, right? And, you know, I got up there and it was super easy because it was, what's our story, which is fucking a crazy story to begin with, right? But then it was like talking about what we've seen in our sphere, how it works for us. And as usual, you know, talking about the ethics of Kind of Funny, like I always say, that first episode when we went live on Twitch, right? Of being like, well, you'll know it. Somebody asked in the chat, what's your ethics policy? You know, you'll just know it. We're going to tell you everything. And the fact that because we're transparent about that, you guys, the best friends, are okay with that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, telling.
And it makes it easy for us to, when we're talking to sponsors, any potential sponsor, sure, being super straight up of like, this is what we'll be comfortable with, yeah, and we're going to tell people. And if you're not comfortable with, yep, that, we're
peace. And that was the same thing of like, you know, Kellogg's, the folks, you know, talking about like, well, how do brands work with you? And I'm like, well, they work with us. They know who we are and what we do. And they're going to be okay with us saying fuck and a weird ass joke and Nick being Nick and all this other stuff, right? And if you're not, you don't do that. You have to give up control. You have to understand what's about to happen when somebody does stuff. And so it was me telling stories about DiGiorno being in the chat and then doing all stuff and taking care of prom and giving away pizzas and then the pizza wars that got us a pizza oven and talking about Portillo's and like how what a
pizza wars.
That it was a huge day of celebration in the community when we finally got a sponsorship from Portillo's for, yeah, Italian Beef Week, right? And it was just really refreshing to see a company try to understand. And they had hired a group to come in and set up a gaming lounge. And so like in between panels, the people from Kellogg's would walk out and like talk to me afterwards and ask me a whole bunch of questions, you know, bounce ideas for products they're working on right now off me. And then it was, they'd go in and there was like one corner that had Fortnite, a giant screen that was running Overwatch, Cuphead was there. I was like, I know awesome. A guy who beat that. They had a whole bunch of games that are like current of like, this shows you a slice of what's popular in gaming and why, right? It's so like, I'd go back in there and I'd start playing Fortnite and then I was running like a Fortnite demonstration of explaining what it is and why it's happening and why it's so popular and all this different stuff.
Awesome. That sounds fun.
It was. I just feel it was such a weird, not a normal kind of funny opportunity, right?
Well, what makes it kind of funny is you, obviously, yeah, being there and being like, well, I'm going to throw a meet and greet at a Buffalo Wild Wings. Yeah, who's going to come?
Yeah,
like that. I love that we get opportunities that allow us
to go to random ass places.
To go to random ass places that we wouldn't ever really go to.
Yeah.
So it's cool. And, you know, I'm sure that made a lot of people's nights.
Oh, and my God, no, that made for the best friends who came out, they made so many people's nights. I was talking about earlier. Definitely go to twitter.com/gameovergreggy and watch the Periscope of me walking to the meet and greet and asking someone to come pick me up. And then the two dudes rolling up and picking me up in the Goodwill parking lot. Like, it's awesome. But now, like,
I want to let you know, Greg.
Yeah.
You tweeted that out and you're like, it's too far. Someone come pick me up. I didn't realize because I'm stupid that you meant in a car. So I thought that people were going to come and that you were trying to get enough people to come and actually surf me carry in. You.
I would have done that. Like, oh, I would have done that for
is
sure.
Is he doing it?
Yeah, I know.
Makes sense.
Then I watched it. I was a little disappointed.
But I think the meet and greet in the Wild Wings thing, right, is such a great example of why they wanted to talk to someone like me who has a community like ours. Because it was that when it started, like literally opening remarks, the woman who was like running the whole thing, she was like, and I know one of the, you know, Greg from the, you know, influencers held the thing last night at Buffalo Wild Wings. How many people came out? And I was like, oh, you know, 75 to 80. And like, there was a collective gasp because there was like, I didn't know there's 75 or 80 people in Battle Creek. Like, right. But it was like, and that's what I got up there to explain of like, you know, it is this thing of, the community wants to see us succeed, and in a meet and greet, like in a random ass place, like we never go to, those get the best turnout because it is friends look at each other and like, dude, it's 3 hours away, but when are we going to get a chance again? They know they're not going to go to a PAX. You know what I mean? They know they've missed a Chicago meet and greet. They know that this is their best way. And as I was, I don't think I've said it on this show, but like, there were multiple people who said they had missed my tweets. They had missed my Instagram. They had missed my stories. They heard about it on the morning show when they were cooking dinner, listening to the morning show. And it was literally
Battle Creek.
They turned off the burners and got in their car and drove out to see us at Wild Wings. Like, it's insane.
Except for that one that forgot to turn the burners off.
Dun, dun, dun. And
burned his entire apartment.
No. He was a DJ though, so you don't respect him.
Gonna be super
it was like, I was just fucking throwing discs all last night, spinning discs.
But no, it was a super cool opportunity. You know what I mean? Of like, It was a corporate speaking engagement, I guess, on paper. That was the least corporate thing I've ever heard of. Where it
That's
was
awesome.
They were all down. And all
like going into it, we were a little bit like,
see what this is going to be.
It'll be worth it for the meet and greet, but this sounds lame as fuck. But
it's good, exactly. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
It sounds like it was going to be what it sounds like.
Exactly, exactly. Which is but it wasn't. It was an intimate thing at Kellogg's HQ talking to people who want to do this shit right. And that's what it's all about, right?
I love that, though. Like I like traveling with you guys, and I like having an opportunity to go to places that I normally wouldn't. And that's like the first time we went to, first and only time we went to Plano, Texas, I was like, this is kind of fun.
Yeah.
There's a quaintness to being like, I would never
We've
got to
figure out a
Texas.
Way to go to random places more. Because you say a random ass place we would never go. Mm-hmm. I would say a random place we never usually go. Right. And that's the thing we were talking about it today with one of the other cons somebody asked us. Oh, Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con.
NYCC.
And it was like, well, if somebody sponsors us to go there, sure. We don't like paying for these trips on our own because they're so expensive. And going to RTX, going somewhere else, RTX is a bad example. PAX, right? Just use PAX. PAX isn't usually we're making content, which means we're publishing something. We're actually not making content. We're actually not doing the job, which actually hurts the bottom line. So we need to figure out a way to do that, right? And so I would love in the future to figure out a fucking way to be like, I don't know if it's Patreon or something else, but like, here, we're going to go to random ass places. Like, let's just go fucking hang out,
man.
The commitment is we're going and we're doing a Wild Wings meet and greet at this place, that place, whatever.
I love
not just Wild Wings, but if you want to sponsor Wild Wings, Wild Wings.
I was going to say, we could do,
that's not a bad idea, actually.
The Tim Gaze in me is
scheming on Wild Wings.
Scheming about that. That's great.
What are you doing? What are you looking up?
I don't know. I'm making a note. Oh, okay. That is a good idea.
Yeah, I think this is a great idea.
I'm like,
the Buffalo Wild Wings Worldwide Wing Tour.
That'd be so fun.
Starring Greg Miller and Andy.
Because that's the thing, like, RTX was really, that was fun. It was a lot of work.
Sure, but it was the fun work. It was the performance work.
It was, but I love the idea of just going to places and, like...
Oh, chilling out and just doing meet and greets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Just having an excuse to go there, because then we could actually, like, see some of the cities and stuff like that, but I don't know. That's fun.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
It was fun.
Good idea. You know, every once in a while, Greg.
Thanks, bud.
You've earned it.
Champ to champ. When we were leaving, I don't did I tell you this? When I finished the speaking engagement, got into the car they got for me, fell asleep. And I got in the car, the guy's at the airport, right? And I'm like, yeah, I fall asleep. Wake up. He actually drove 30 minutes in the wrong direction to the Kalamazoo airport. And I rolled up and I'm like, dude, I'm supposed to go to Detroit. And he's like, are you serious? And he looked at the paperwork. He's like, I'm so sorry. Somebody said Kalamazoo and I never checked the paperwork. And back on the highway. So just added about an hour to my trip.
Did you make it though?
That's why I had plenty of time. I was pre-checked. And because I originally started telling this, we signed the deal when we were already I was at the airport to go to RTX.
Yeah.
So I bought more shirts first a Meyer in Battle Creek, but then at the show to kind of pad out the collection. And I was with Jen and Porty. So I just went with a backpack. And so I was traveling super light, but it was like, oh crap. Okay. This is extending the trip in a way we didn't expect.
Yeah.
But I made it. And then the fucking plane was all fucked up.
Do you ever see a future, Greg, where if money is no object, you just go to places, buy underwear as you wear them, you throw it out.
Sure. I bought this is an interesting Greg Millerism right here. Of course, get ready for your, team fast dead and all this shit. I'm in a weird spot right now where some extra large shirts like this chicken wing shirt, perfect. They fit great. Some I'm in a dress.
Yeah.
And so it's a gamble now. Mm-hmm. Extra large or large? Because a large, I have that great Superman shirt, my favorite Superman shirt, that blue one from the Superman, Batman, Superman box, right? Mm-hmm. That we unboxed that one time. Mm-hmm. That I've only been comfortable enough to wear in public once because it is very tight. And someday, depending on what I've eaten, what I'm doing, you know what I mean? I was like, I need new shirts. I went into the Meijer. I was looking around. They had superhero ones. They had a Superman distressed. However, light color. I know I'm going to be sweating tonight. I know I'm going to pit out in it. Can't do that. So then I'm like, what about black shirts? I fucked up. At the Detroit airport, they had a shirt that said Detroit versus the world. Oh, I was like, that's a pretty dope shirt. That's a pretty dope shirt. Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, it was good. I like it. I was like, I don't need to worry about it. I'm going to be able to wear this shirt, the shirt I was wearing. And I got to the hotel. I was like, this is a bad idea. This shirt smells like I've been on an airplane all day. Went to the Meijer. Superhero shirts now. Finally found a Golden Girls one. Of course, everybody knows we love the Golden Girls. It was a good callback to Xavier Woods, of course. Huge Golden Girls fan.
Savage.
But I picked up the XL and I'm like, too big. Picked up the large. I'm like, I don't know. Went, got in the fitting room, tried on the large. I'm like, perfect. However, then I went there, ate a whole bunch of spicy garlic wings, whole bunch of potatoes. And then I was like, I couldn't even suck it in for photos anymore. And I was like, I don't know if this shirt can hold that anymore. And then I'm sure after I get washed, it's going to have to be just a fucking thing. Also, though, shout out to, everybody knows, we talked about him earlier, Fareed from Rooster Teeth, right? Guy sucks, right? I had asked for a Funhouse shirt, that cool Funhouse shirt that looks like my Mizzou shirt a long time ago, right? Guess what he says? Sorry, Greg, they got no more of them. You know what I mean? Now, granted, he sent Jen all the fucking barber stuff. He sends me all the stuff I need. But this one time he failed me. That's why he sucked. Went to RTX, though. RTX store. They were selling the Funhouse shirt I'm talking about. The white V-neck, if you don't know what I'm talking about.
Sort
the
of classic 70s style shirt.
Exactly. Yeah. I fucking put that shirt on. Guys, we got to make a shirt like that. Because that and the Missouri shirt, I look fucking awesome in. We need to make one of those. Maybe make it blue. Blue, exactly. So I just want all my shirts to be this kind of shirt now.
Okay. I'm a fan of them because they hug the biceps and make the bicep look a little bigger.
And they got those white lines around them making the biceps look huge.
It draws attention to the fucking gang and shit.
I thought gang
and
shit.
This is thunder and this is lightning. Oh, sorry. This is gang and that shit.
I apologize. When
they're in this mode, when they've transformed into this mode, this is gang and shit.
If you're at home right now, he's doing Spider-Man
hands. So for those of you who don't understand how Dragon Ball Z works.
I don't. That's me.
No. I'm not going to try it. I wasn't even going to try it. Super Saiyan Goku?
Super Saiyan.
I'm just saying, Kevin.
It's Saiyan.
It's saying what?
Who's saying what?
Why?
Kevin.
Kevin.
What's that, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, you've enjoyed this show and you want more? Yeah. Well, there was a 30-minute pre-show, of course, that you can get on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Of course, after this, there will be a post-show. I'm not telling you how long it'll be if you're watching live, like you could be, for just a buck on patreon.com/kindoffunny. You can hang out and watch it. If not, you can get it in the video version we put up on patreon.com/kindoffunny each and every week. There's an audio version that goes live earlier, but, you know, it's not the same. Everything's free. YouTube.com/kindoffunny and podcast services around the world next month, Friday, but not the pre and post show. Yeah.
Are we gonna leave this one with a cliffhanger like we did last time?
You want to start the conversation and stop there?
Yeah, I'll ask a question and then we'll answer
What's
it
the question going to be?
What is the square root of 64?
Oh, what the fuck kind of question
You'll
is
find
that?
The number out on the post show.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Game Over Greggy Show. Each and every week, three, sometimes a million best friends gather on this table, each bringing a random topic discussion for your amusement. If you like that, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny where you can get each and every episode early. Of course, we want to thank Patreon producer Tom Bach and all these people who made the show possible. And maybe a sponsor? Greg didn't look at that before he came out here.
Definitely a sponsor.
Really?
100% a sponsor, yeah.
Oh, that's what I'm helping. You want to pull it up, Big Cowdy?
Yeah. Damn it, I pulled
Should
it
we
up.
Insert it?
I had a lot going on before the show.
Yeah, me too.
Insert it?
Me too. We'll probably have to insert it at this point.
Insert it right into the middle.
Yeah, well, that's how it works.
There was a great spot where we stopped, and then you said, let's talk about Battle Creek, Missouri. That would be a great spot for us.
That was way past it. All right.
Michigan, not Missouri.
Jesus.
That's like Battle Creek should be in Missouri, not Michigan.
It also didn't have anything to do with the Civil War. I don't think Michigan was a hot spot for the Civil War.
That's why it was extra weird you were reenacting it there.
I know, well, you know, you go where the art takes you.
Got it.
Wherever it's going to be, that's what you do. When you're here, you're family.
When you're here, you're home, you're here. Family.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you. Thanks for watching the Game Over Greggy Show, everybody. Click here to subscribe to our channel. Click here to support us on Patreon. Click here, maybe over Nick, to go see other episodes we've done before. And then click where Nick's foot probably is to go to the Kind of Funny Games YouTube channel. There's a lot of cool stuff over there. It's always weird when somebody tells me they didn't know about the other YouTube channel. But hey, to each their own. Whatever you do with that mango is your business.